Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory.
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins.
A little bit of last lap magic.
Photo finish.
What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega. Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
On today's Part of My Take, we have Bobby Valentine. Awesome interview with the man who invented the rap. We talk everything with Bobby. UFOs. We talk the famous mustache coming back from being ejected in the dugout. Awesome interview. Guy that you just talk to and you're like, man, he's a cool guy. Want to be friends with him. So get excited for that interview. We also have a bunch of basketball talk. Suns in four. We have Who's Back of the Week. We're going to talk some soccer. We're going to talk some tennis. We got some segments. Great show coming for you, and we're brought to you by our friends at...
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. Today is Monday, June 14th. Suns in four.
Suns in four. They did it. The fellas did it.
The guy is a legend. So if you've been living under a rock and you missed it, we had a fight video from, which we don't condone fighting in the stands, but if you're going to fight in the stands, be a legend like this guy.
If you're going to fight in the stands, win.
Yeah, win, and when you're outnumbered and have lower ground, which is everything this guy did, and you're in the opposing team's, or you're the opposing team in the home court of Denver. So he goes there, Suns fan, wearing a Steve Nash jersey, throwback, going up against a pair of Jamal Murray bros, which I don't know, fair or foul, but wearing the same jersey as your bro.
Sus.
I think you need to fill out the team. I think one of you's got to have a Jokic.
One guy had two watches on.
And a bunch of chains.
Although there was that one fight that happened in Dallas a couple weeks ago where it was three separate guys wearing different...
I saw that.
You saw that?
Yeah.
They were all wearing 77 jerseys. They're all rocking Lucas, but one was home, one was away, and then one was like a throwback alternate who comes in at the very end. It's like, what's going on here?
Listen, as just a straight up, like, we're not going to shame whatever anyone wants to wear to a game, but if you saw that.
What?
Oh, nothing. I don't want to get distracted. If you go, happy birthday, Hank, by the way. We should have said that right off the top. Happy birthday, Hank. If you go to a game and you show up to your buddy's house to pick him up, and he's got the same exact color Jamal Murray jersey,
he's got
to
go back
inside. One of you's got to change.
Yeah, well, you got to go shirts and skins even at that point.
Yeah.
And I've noticed this about the fans in Denver. No disrespect to Denver or to families, but
we used to be Nuggets podcast.
We were. I did notice that it's like 25% Suns fans. They travel well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right up.
Altitude doesn't bother them.
What's the highway? Give us the 35. Highway.
35. 85.
85. Right up 85. Pop up 85. No problem.
But yeah,
right up into the Rockies. Yeah, so
they're representing pretty well up in Denver.
They were.
And so,
70.
Up 70, right? I-70.
The I-70.
It's the battle of I-70.
I love it.
And everyone knows that.
And now we've got Chris Paul looking like he's 10 years younger now. I hope that it's going to be Suns against Clippers because I want to see Chris Paul go up against Ballmer.
Yes, yes. All right, so wait. Let's talk about Chris Paul, but we got to finish with the Suns and four guys. So if you missed it, it's a video that came out on the internet on Saturday morning. It is from game 3 of Suns versus Nuggets. Two guys matching Jamal Murray jerseys, tons of chains, tons of watches. They have the higher ground against a sole guy who looks like just a chill-ass dude, if I'm going to be honest, in a Steve Nash jersey. One of the Jamal Murray guys gives a look to the camera like, watch this, I'm about to sucker punch him. Tries to throw the sucker punch, then gets basically like a hockey fight. The Steve Nash bro grabs him by the chains and just keeps giving him, just making him eat uppercuts. And then the two Jamal Murray guys go and yell to the cops. And as they're running away, the Suns fan says, Suns in four, Suns in four, which was legendary in the moment. But now that the Suns have actually finished the sweep and it is Suns in four, that guy has to. I don't know what they do pregame ceremonies. Light the torch.
Ring the bell.
Yeah, dunk the gorilla. I don't
DX.
Know. He's got to be out there. If you're the Suns organization, like it's all because no one got really hurt. It seemed like the Suns guy was the one who was getting sucker punched.
He was defending himself. He had the low ground. There was a guy that was hitting him. All he did was he just sweatered the dude.
Yes.
And that's very difficult to do with a basketball jersey. You don't have sleeves. It's not girthy. The sweater's
right.
Not heavy like it is for an NHL sweater. So, yeah, he pulled it over his head, made him turtle, caught him with a couple
grabbed
of nice.
Grabbed him by the chains, too. That's
yeah.
You got to take your chains off.
Caught him with a couple nice uppercuts.
Uh-huh.
But they were also very chill uppercuts
yeah.
at the same time. Like, I was never. I think that's the difference. That's why like the internet is okay with this fight. No one's like trying. No one's shamed the guy yet for it because during the fight there was never an instance where I was like, "Oh, these two guys in the Jamal Murray jerseys, they're going to get hurt." Like it never looked like that.
No.
It was just like solid connections to the face, neck area, and then they just ran away.
It was the opposite of that Padres Rockies fan, which so mm-hmm. Denver fans really are having a tough month.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who knocked out the Rockies fan, and you're like, ooh, that actually was bad. Like, we don't want to see people get knocked out. You're right. They were more like, hey, I'm winning this fight on. He was pointing him to death.
Yeah.
He was scoring points on CompuBox. And he wasn't actually going to knock him out.
Yeah, so basically Denver fans, are they the YouTubers or the TikTokers of the fan fighting community, Hank?
TikTokers.
They're the TikTokers.
Got smoked.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's too bad.
5-1
How YouTube. Will they recover?
Dancing.
Dancing.
Just got to dance it out.
Away. If you dance enough off of that, maybe get Charlie D'Amelio in one.
They're going to meme their way through it.
They'll forget everything about those fights. All right,
like,
so
there's no one that gets roasted on the internet more than Patrick Mahomes' brother, but he doesn't give a shit.
No.
He just dances it out.
He literally is the cheesy saying, like, dance like no one's watching.
Yes.
But millions of people are watching, but dance like no one's watching. All right, so yeah, the Suns are. That game,
that guy needs a ring. The bottom line is, if they win the NBA Finals this year, that guy needs a ring. AJ Titties needs a ring.
He needs a ring for sure, and he needs to do the pregame ceremony. If it's game one or game three, depending on the Jazz or the Clippers, you need to get him incorporated somehow. Even if it's like ring a bell, I don't know what the fuck the Suns do. Even though we're a diehard Suns podcast, we know, we just don't want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, have him out there, give a wave to the people, maybe have him do a little. You know,
uppercuts,
and then everyone goes crazy. It would be the right thing to do.
It would, because like everyone kind of likes this guy. You respect him, and all, to the Nuggets fans out there, I have one thing to say. Imagine thinking that you're tougher than the Suns. The fucking Suns.
The Suns.
The only thing I can find is Langston Galloway and Campaign have a pregame like breakdancing ritual.
Oh, okay. Campaign is an famous all-time dancer. Remember that clip of him dancing with
the
Thunder?
Break dance.
By the way, Campaign also in a conference final. So who would have thought? Who would have thought we'd be here? Anyway, Chris Paul, insane. Chris Paul, he's playing basically perfect basketball right now. He was 14 for 19 for 37 points. There was a stretch there. I don't. Did he go 7 for 7? He was 6 for 6 in the third quarter. I don't know if he got up to 7 for 7, but he was.
He was just on fire.
He was on fire.
I thought that he sucked last year. I was told that Chris Paul was cooked last year.
No, he was all right. I mean, remember, he got the Thunder, like, he made the Thunder not the worst team
right.
ever last year. He's just a really, really good basketball player, which is not, like, saying something groundbreaking. It's always been about the injuries and hitting people in the balls. But he's playing perfect basketball right now. The Suns, as a team, are playing pretty much perfect basketball. And I know, let's throw this out there, the Jokic ejection was bullshit. It was bullshit. It may be a technical, but having that be an ejection was so, so stupid. I don't know if that changes the game. And I know some Nuggets fans will say, yeah, of course it does. But the Suns are just on a different level.
The
right
Suns
now.
Are a better team. They were going to win the series. They were probably going to win this game. But, like, yes, ejecting the reigning MVP, that's going to have an effect on it. And my thing with this ejection, that's just – it's a playoff foul, Big Cat.
Yeah.
It's a playoff foul. He wound up. He took a swing. I think that referee, he likes seeing himself on camera a lot. He is the king of staring into America's souls in the living room. And he does, like, little pivots.
Yep.
He looks back. He looks like he's on a runway out there. He wanted to get more FaceTime for himself. He's like, let's review this again. At first, Reggie Miller was like, it's not a foul at all. And then he was like, you know what? Throw him out. Throw him out of the game.
Get him out of here.
And honestly, endless respect for Jokic being an MVP in the NBA and still, I think he cuts his hair with a Flobee. Whatever it is, it's the same, like, number three all over. He just takes the Clippers to his head and he just goes, just get me out of this chair. I'm in, I'm out. There's no such thing as a fade when you're Jokic.
And he definitely won the face-to-face with Devin Booker. You could read his lips. He was just saying, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? That's always like, when you say that and the guy's backing up, it's like, all right, well, you mm-hmm. won this.
Did you see his brothers at the MVP ceremony?
No, he had a great MVP speech that was essentially, it was maybe 15 seconds, and he was like, it's not about me, it's about all these guys. Clap it up for them, and then that was it.
I like
but
it.
What was his brother?
They're huge. They just look like huge, tattooed.
I love it. Guys. I love it. Yeah, all right, we'll remember this year, the MVP season. Also, DeAndre Ayton's been awesome. And he could have been awesome anyway. You know what I mean? Like, he could have fulfilled his promise as the number one pick in the draft. But it is funny to be like, hey, what happened to DeAndre Ayton? Oh, well, he's now paired with one of, like, the top five point guards of all time. That probably helps. Chris Paul makes big guys great.
And DeAndre,
that's what he does.
DeAndre Ayton, he misses, like, one, maybe two shots a game.
Yeah, no,
he might go through this playoffs with the highest field goal percentage of any player ever because he just gets the ball. Chris Paul just throws him lobs. It's everything that we were told Lob City would be.
Yeah.
Is his connection with DeAndre Ayton.
And his defense has been amazing. The Suns are just playing at a different level. So, great, great pivot by us.
Do you want to chug with the fellas?
To become a Suns podcast.
I'll split this with you if you want to chug this with the fellas.
I'll chug this with
you. Chug the water? Hang on. Fellas. Coors Seltzer, orange cream. This is delicious, by the
Boom,
way.
Boom, I just hydrated.
I don't know if you've had this.
Not going to lie, I'm struggling with the Papadillas. hear that burp.
That one's for the fellas. The
Papadilla Day didn't go so hot coming out. We can talk about that on Who's Back.
The Papadilla sits heavy.
This Papadilla.
It's like I feel like I ate rocks.
Let's just talk about it now. So we, all weekend long, I just sat there watching games in Papadillas.
You're pronouncing it like a gringo. It's Papadilla.
Papadillas?
There's actually no L in it.
No, it's Papadillas. It's
Papadilla.
But ask yourself this, PFT. Papa John, you think he wants to pronounce it any other way than as, like,
no.
American and,
I'm,
and
I'm
terrible
actually,
as possible?
I'm shocked, that Papa John didn't put an R at the end of it.
Papadillas. All right. So, yeah, Papadillas, they do not sit light in the stomach. I saw the commercial all weekend. I texted the boys, the fellas on Saturday night. I was like, hey, you guys had Papadillas before? And everyone's like, no, but it looks good. I was like, all right, done. For Hank's birthday, which we totally knew about, we totally mm-hmm. knew it was Hank's birthday.
We knew that Hank loved Papadillas.
Papadillas,
it's his favorite
yeah.
thing in the world.
So I got 26 Papadillas from Papa John's. They thought I was pranking them. So I went before I came in. I ordered it online. And it didn't, for some reason, Papa John's didn't take my credit card, so I had to do the cash option. And when I showed up, they're like, oh, we thought we were getting pranked. why would anyone order 26 Papadillas? Mm-hmm. So I was like, nope, I'm real. I want them. I want 26 of them. Tried them all. Let's just say I probably won't be going back to the Papadillas.
No, it's a one-time thing, but it was good that we tried.
You know what it was? If I could go back in time and be 21-year-old Big Cat again, drinking a lot and smoking a lot and all that shit, I would be I'd be the number one Papadilla account on Twitter.
What the Papadilla is basically just if you took a sandwich and just made grilled cheese the bread,
mm-hmm.
but then just didn't put anything in between, just stack grilled cheeses on top of each other.
Yeah,
that's kind of what they're going for. And you know what? To be totally honest with you, it worked for about the first four bites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did.
It's more sandwich than pizza, just so everyone knows, because I know this was science for everyone at home. And we did get the rankings just quickly went BBQ chicken, Philly cheesesteak, buffalo chicken. That's the top three. And the reviews, Jake said, I've had worse. Hank said, too deep fried. Note, they're not deep fried. I said the Parmesan crusted ones made me believe in God, which is true. And then PFT said, no cap, these are major key.
Yeah, it's paper.
And Bubba had the best review. He said, Papa did it again. So that's our Papadilla's review.
Honestly, every single fast food company in America should have a guy whose only job it is to just get really fucking high and sit in a room with all their ingredients.
Yeah.
And then just like take notes of everything that this guy creates. This should be Chris Long's job.
Yeah.
Is just sit in a room, like put him in a Taco Bell test kitchen and give him ground beef, cheese, tortillas, sour cream, cheese, shredded lettuce, diced tomatoes, and fire sauce.
And just go, fuck me up, daddy.
And just go like, all right, go off, King.
Yeah. I also am reminded every now and then when I do something like that where I, like, people are like, oh, commercials, so stupid. Like, commercials work on me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
100% of the time, if I see a commercial, I'm like, ooh, I gotta have it. I actually have a problem. I could just save this for Firefest. I have been, like, burning through cash just buying anything that pops up on my Instagram ads.
Oh, really?
Because it's all focused to you, so they're like, hey, here's this new shirt that won't make you look fat.
See, I can't do it with the Instagram ads because anytime it says like link in bio, that's two extra clicks that I have to do, and that's too much work.
No, dude, no.
I need you to serve the link to me on a silver platter.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about the link in bio. I'm talking about the ones that look like Instagram posts, but they're ads. I'm just hitting that constantly.
Yeah.
Shop here, boom, done. I'll buy it, and then I'll just forget it. So, yeah, and it really is. You think I'm joking, but there was a T-shirt I bought that was like, does your chest look too big in your T-shirt? Buy this T-shirt. It was like, damn, they really got a targeted ad here.
I got hit a month or two back-to-back with, like, just nothing but concurrent ads for things called lift kits, which are they're just like socks that have an extra like inch and a half in the heel that you can put on and then walk around. And it's like before and after, and the guy is like 2 inches taller in the after picture. It's incredible.
There's a guy who tweeted at me last week who said, I'm so sick of the internet just having fleshlight ads all over the place. Can you fix this? I was like, Buddy.
That sounds to me like a man that already has his fill of fleshlights.
Yeah, he doesn't
need
it anymore.
He's no longer in the market for fleshlights, and he's mad that he's getting served ads for them.
Talk to me about same height parties, PFT.
Same height parties, yeah. So apparently somebody probably narked on something that I smashed the like button on Twitter, but there's something called a same height party where you show up and they measure you at the door, and depending on how tall you are, they give you these like lifts that you walk around in that bring you up to the exact same height as
Jesus
the tallest
Christ.
Person at the party, so everybody's the same height.
You know what though?
Normalize same height parties.
Yeah, normalize.
PFT commentary.
I'm gonna defend PFT here.
They look awesome.
I'm gonna defend PFT here. Let's think about
logistically. That's a nightmare.
Yeah, but think about historically, right? Historically, when you've got short guys, you get like Napoleon and Hitler who try to take over the world. Now we got short guys just being like, hey, everyone's got to look eye to eye at this cocktail party.
Dude, if Austria...
We're good. We're going in a good direction here.
If Austria had same height parties,
right.
I think that right now,
yes.
the geopolitical situation in Europe would be much simpler than it currently is.
Yes. So short guys no longer trying to take over the world and just being like, hey, meet me eye to eye when I'm trying to have this cocktail weenie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with that.
Also, Napoleon gets a bad rap because I think he was just normal height for his time. But they're like, he's short in retrospect.
I thought he was pretty short.
No, that's James Madison. James Madison was like 5'2".
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Where'd you go to school?
Oof. Couldn't dunk a basketball.
Central Virginia.
All right, let's talk some basketball. Let's talk some more basketball. The Nets are broken. Ever since pretty much the moment we finished taping with Kirk Goldsberry on Thursday and said the Nets are a super team and can't be stopped.
I think
everything,
we said they weren't going to lose a game.
Yeah, everything has gone very badly since. They obviously lost on Thursday, which we recapped. Today, Kyrie Irving goes out. They lose game four. I did see some people tweeting and people talking about Giannis. Was that a dirty play? I don't think it was.
No.
I thought it was. I thought it was weird they didn't review it, because I do think, like, if you're going to call landing, what do they call it, landing area or whatever?
Yeah, like invading a guy's landing area.
He did do that.
But it's also in the key.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't. People were comparing it to cylinder? Zaza. Yeah, I don't know if you can still do that. People were comparing it to Zaza, doing
shot?
That to Kawhi. That was totally different.
Yeah, that on that one, he like walked underneath his feet on a three-pointer. And this one, when you're around the basket, I think it's harder to time that shit out.
It is, but he did go kind of underneath him. Again, I'm just shocked they didn't review it. I don't think that there was any dirtiness, any malicious intent.
At that point, we're getting into like hockey Twitter, yeah. Like break it down frame by frame. In the speed of the moment, you don't know. Like, if there's anybody in the league where you don't know where that guy's going to land on a layup, it's Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where he's making like all his last-second moves and adjustments. So I don't think he could do that if he tried. I don't think that he was trying, but I did admire. I don't agree with the take, but I did admire the take from Big Baby Glenn Davis.
Oh, yes.
Glenn Davis said that's the same ankle he used to step on Lucky,
and it wasn't.
It was. Yeah, but, of course he fucked that up.
But
of course he
but
did.
Still,
well, you can't let facts get in the way of a good take.
No,
and that was
never,
a good take.
Never. You should.
Does he know his left and right?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
He's made millions
it's
of dollars.
The principle.
Yeah, and I think that there was like a weird backlash against Big Baby for saying that, because they were like, "Yo, he's injured. Like this is fucked up, Big Baby." Yeah, he is injured, but like it's
he stepped
a sprained,
unlucky.
It's a sprained ankle.
And
right.
He stepped unlucky.
So
well,
he'll never be 100% again.
Yeah, I was gonna say the bad news for the Nets is his X-rays came back negative, which means it was sprained, which is way worse than a break.
It's worse. He won't be 100% again. Yeah. And he was wearing, you know, he was wearing after the game.
What?
Walking boot.
Oh no.
Hey,
Kyrie.
Hey, Kyrie. I was thinking maybe you slip me on. We can discuss whether or not we should add some healing crystals into my tongue.
Hey, Kyrie, if you hopped on a boat and went to the end of the horizon, you'd just fall right off.
Kyrie, you best to move. I notice you're living next to a 3G tower.
Oh man, it is a little like, obviously the Nets at full strength are probably the best team in the NBA and better than the Bucks. But at some point, you do have to admit that, like, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, those guys do get injured. So to say, oh, they got derailed by injury, well, they are also injury prone,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, it's not totally crazy. It's not like someone who, you know, it's not like like LeBron, you know, AD getting hurt. AD gets hurt. If LeBron gets hurt, it's like, holy shit, LeBron got hurt? Like, LeBron never right. gets hurt. So, as much as it sucks, I kind of like that the Nets have to win it the hard way.
They got to overcome something?
Like, I think James Harden will probably be back, and this is just a total guess, for maybe game six. So KD on Tuesday night has to, and I want to say it, PFD, should we use the L word? Is this a legacy game for Kevin Durant on Tuesday night?
I was going to say it's a must win. If you want to jump to legacy, well, if we're going to do a legacy game, we have to have someone that he's passing the torch to if he doesn't win this legacy game.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a new torch. Would it be Giannis?
Oh.
Is this a torch game?
Or is Kawhi just every now and then will just pop up on the legacy watch.
Yeah.
And just be like, remember Kawhi?
He's perfect in fourth quarters that they've won.
I do. All right, let's talk about that series real quick.
How come bad players never get hurt?
Wait, no, the bad players do get hurt.
Do they? You never hear about like Kelly Olynyk needing surgery.
I'm trying to think. Bad players getting hurt.
Olynyk, yeah, the legend. They did say that James Harden was going to try to come back, but Steve Nash said that he needs to string together loads.
Ooh.
Before he can come back.
Okay. Kelly Olynyk, right shoulder surgery, 2016.
Ooh.
I don't recall him missing any time for that.
All right, so the Clippers. The Clippers.
Kelly Olynyk didn't miss any games in 2016.
It was May 17th, 2016, where the Celtics... yeah, he missed two playoff games against the Hawks.
Oh.
In February.
Two games.
Damn.
I'm just reading a story. I don't know.
The Clippers. So, one, playoff P. Way to go. It is great. Like, as much as we are very mean to Paul George online, and everyone is, when he does do well, he gets extra credit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's like, playoff P, this is incredible. I also feel like Kawhi is like, and we talked to Kirk Goldsberry about this on Thursday, but he really does like practice load management within a playoff series where it's like, I don't need to try really hard until we like go down two games.
Or yeah, I think Kirk was saying like, you don't put Kawhi on somebody until you need to stop him because you know it's going to happen.
Right.
But you don't want to get him tired over the course of a few games. But, so yeah, like during the course of a game, he'll even, like he does conserve his energy, especially like on offense. I've noticed that Kawhi,
yeah,
he doesn't move around as much as he could. I'll put it that way.
Yes.
Like he will like chill in the corner. LeBron does that too though.
Yeah, well, like, he doesn't play defense.
Where he doesn't play defense and mm-hmm. sometimes doesn't play offense. But yeah, no, you're right, Kawhi.
But that's a lot of energy going after the refs.
Correct. A lot of talking to the referee. And Kawhi doesn't use any energy at all talking to anyone.
Right.
Even his teammates.
Exactly. Or smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it like if you laugh, you burn 10 calories?
No, it takes like, I want to say 20 muscles to frown and 10 muscles to smile. But he just doesn't, but it takes zero muscles to do neither
to
one.
To do nothing.
Yeah.
Also, shout out LeBron for swearing on Twitter. That was shocking.
Fuck.
Right ahead of Space Jam 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was very shocking.
A loud-ass hell swear word.
Yeah. That series, though, will be interesting. And then the Sixers, the Sixers might just be the best team in the East who are just kind of waiting, or the best team in the NBA who are just waiting because they have sort of destroyed the Hawks the last two games.
So who do
Sixers
you put?
Sixers defense is good.
Sixers
very good.
Hank, that's very
Ben
big of
Simmons
you.
Should have been the defensive player of the year.
So who do they put Ben Simmons on if they go up against the Nets? Bruce Brown?
Whoever they want. Yeah, Bruce Brown's floaters. Don't let him get floaters in the middle.
Bruce Brown.
Dude, he just keeps going with the floaters, and I love it.
Big Cat, there are a lot of Bruce Brown haters out there. We are not amongst them.
No.
I'm looking at the box score right now. He was +3 today.
Yeah. Dude, his floaters work sometimes. Yeah.
He's like J.R. Smith level of every time he shoots. You're like, what? What are you doing?
Well, I think the fact that it's a floater every time, it's like, what's going on here? Like, most guys take like one or two floaters a game. Bruce Brown just, every shot's a floater. Yeah, but I think the Sixers, we'll see. And I do, every time the Sixers win a game and they play that song, it's fucking sick. You have to give them that, Hank, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Their defense is good.
All right. So there we go. Anything else from the weekend for basketball?
I think that's about it.
I think we covered most Suns in four. That guy's a legend.
Bronny Jr. lost a championship.
Oh, and Drake was there.
Yeah.
Mm. Making it all about himself.
Mm.
Wait, Drake showed up at a tournament with a bunch of 17-year-olds?
Yep.
Wow.
Careful.
No, it's just interesting. That's all. I'm just intrigued by it. I thought he had like some sort of restraining order.
Some 16.
Keep him away from schools.
Yeah. All right. The hockey, we had the Islanders beat the Lightning. So there's a start. Oh, also the Avalanche were the greatest team to never win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Like that.
I mean,
flamed out.
You know what? I'm entering the point in this hockey playoffs where now I'm mad at people because we were told that the Avalanche were just going to shit pump everybody.
Yes.
We were told they were a wagon, and they're not a wagon at all. Turns out the Golden Knights might be a wagon. Turns out the Islanders, America's team, they're the South's team now.
There's a chance.
Because they're the New York Saints.
Yeah.
I love Ryan Whitney, Situate's finest, and Biz. There's a chance that there might be some bias where I'm not sure where it's like they've talked down on the Islanders so much because Whitney goes at it with their fans.
Oh.
But it's like I'm starting to wonder if maybe the Islanders are just good.
Yeah.
Like they said the Bruins are going to shit pump the Islanders.
It does.
And then they're like, no matter what happens, the Lightning are going to ship up the Islanders, and then the Islanders won game one, like, pretty handily.
I agree with you. It does feel, every time the Islanders win a game, I'm like, wow, they must have just done it with, like, grit and grind. Like, how did they pull this off again? They might just be really good.
I think they're the highest scoring team in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they're doing it without their captain, who I thought I saw Anders Lee. I think he skated the other day.
Yeah, is it fair for me to kind of, like, partially claim this Islanders run as a Caps fan? Because they got Barry Trotz and Varley?
It's
Cap.
Is that cap?
That's
cap. Am I capping
yeah,
right
you
now?
You can't cap that.
But you know that there's any time that happens, you've got to be like, there's a special part in your brain that's in the interest of self-preservation trying to make me feel okay about it.
I think you should be more mad at the caps for
Capping
Barry
on
Trotz.
Barry Trotz.
Yeah. That situation.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think he has to go, like, he has to leave and have to be gone for a while for it to be like, okay, now I'm rooting for Barry Trotz.
But, I mean, you're rooting for a campaign.
Yeah. I mean, well, that has become, I don't know, I still don't know how he's getting these minutes. And I don't know. He's a wonder.
Yeah.
I'm not even rooting for him. I'm just shocked that he's doing what he's doing.
And he's actually, like, contributing.
Yes.
Yeah, out of nowhere. But with Barry Trotz, it's like, he won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, no, I'd be mad.
He personally won me a Stanley Cup, so I'm like, cap for life, that guy.
Yeah, no, you're right on that. I would be more, I think just the way he left, it's like, how the hell did he leave the year after they won the Stanley
Cup? Yes, contract just ran.
Right, that would piss me off. That would be more, I think you root for Barry Trotz and you're mad at your own franchise.
Yes, that's where I'm at. Okay.
That situation.
But still, that's
yes,
the cap
you can
Stanley
root for
Cup
Barry Trotz, yeah. All right, so the PLL.
Our Water Dogs are the hottest team in sports.
I don't want to say they listen to us, but they definitely listen to us because we dog walked them the last week because they were that bad week one. And they actually took our advice to just shoot more.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to say, good job, Water Dogs. I'm proud of the fellas. They put up. I watched both games. They, you know how I know that they actually took some criticism from the owner's suite. Game one, they had a power play, and I know everyone's like, "Oh, it's man up. It's man up, dude." The fucking NBC Sports broadcast calls it a power play, so I'm calling it a power play.
Well, I'm indicting NBC Sports broadcast for that. You know who would not make a mistake like that? Jake Marsh. If he was announced.
No, but they're doing this thing.
This is what happens every time rugby is on television in America. Every single play, it's like, this is like a free throw in basketball.
Right.
Yeah.
But they should call it a power play if it's a power play, but it's a man up. Whatever. I don't care. I'm calling it a power play. They call it a power play. Shut up, people, you know, saying it's man up. I'm a fucking lacrosse team owner.
Do they call it the sin bin when a guy goes to the penalty box?
I don't know what they call it.
That'd be cool. Jake, you can use that one.
I nap for most of the games. Just
I'll use it if I got a game.
Yeah, so
they shot right away on the power play of game one.
Uh-huh.
Game two, they started the game, won the faceoff, fucking 2-point bomb, 4 seconds into the game. That's how you play, boys.
So there's been a shitload of scoring. I'm starting to wonder if the balls are doctored in lacrosse this year. Because is this the first year that they're using the Dayglo yellow ball?
I think it's the 2-point thing.
The 2-point line. That's probably, that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
We take a lot of long ones, though, which I don't like.
We have to fix that.
I don't
analytics.
Like that. We got to take a look at it. We got to run it through our software algorithm and see exactly what we need to tweak. But we're on the right track.
More shots. Shots. I am convinced, and not our goalie. Our goalie's cool. I like that guy. I think they were getting after it at the airport with the boys after a great weekend.
Well deserved.
But every other goalie stinks. Goalies just stink in lacrosse. And I'm not saying that as a mean thing. I think it's an impossible job for them to have to save a baseball coming at them 105 miles an hour and like a bunch of bodies in front of them, all the gear. I don't know how any goalie ever saves anything. So my point is, just shoot more.
I'm always amazed that there aren't more like just hard shin bruises in lacrosse from shots. Like a lacrosse ball hitting your leg, that seems like the most painful thing ever.
Dude, our captain, I think he's our captain, Drew Snyder, he got hit in the ribs on Friday night, and it was like almost 5 seconds after he pulled up his shirt, and it was completely black and blue.
Damn.
It was crazy.
I love the long-haired guy with a mustache on our team. Who's that guy? He scores too many goals.
Mikey Schlosser.
Every time I see him, it's very tricky because with the font that we use for our numbers, it looks like he's number 69 from the side, and then he rotates, and it's 59.
Guys, look at us. We're just talking lax.
Yeah.
Like, just regularly talking lax.
That kid's got flow, man.
It's just good to win. You know what? I'm happy that they listened to us because we sucked week one. And if we go back to that, I will say that we suck again and we're an embarrassment to this show.
I'm just going
to
say this. If we go on a 2-game losing streak at any point, we're going to move the team.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we don't have a town. It's like a traveling circus of lacrosse that we do.
But we're going to move
the fucking team.
Out of Loserville.
Don't believe me? Try me.
Try me.
Because I would love it.
Yeah, we would. We'll fucking do anything.
I'll pay for my own fucking stadium.
We won't we'll stop paying the players.
Yeah.
We will stop paying the players.
That's it.
If we have to,
power the purse.
To make them play better, we'll fucking do it. We will do it. I don't think there's a union.
No, we'll stop playing the players, and then we'll double what we pay them currently if they win four games in a row.
Who's ahead of the union?
And then I'll match it.
Who's ahead of the union? Fucking Paul Rabel's brother.
It's probably Paul.
Yeah.
Paul's the commissioner.
Yeah,
and the head of the union. Yeah. He negotiates against himself.
Well, I'm pretty sure we can stop paying the players if we want to.
Yeah.
All right. Any other sports stuff? We're going to do talking tennis and talking soccer in segments, so we're not going to miss those. College baseball, we're in it. We're watching it.
It's on.
It's on. That was our college baseball segment.
Was Texas wearing like? Were they wearing like deceptively University of Tennessee type uniforms?
Ooh. Speaking of the University of Tennessee, did you see that they bad University of Tennessee? They priced out all the real fans.
I did see that. Stadium. It was like $300 for a ticket.
Forgot to mention this with the Lightning. The Lightning are kicking out fans of the lower section that aren't Lightning fans.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for a while.
Oh, they did that. They did that in 2015 against the Hawks.
Yeah. It's insane, though.
They tried
it's like
to
picking
ban...
up more steam. It's crazy. We have to talk about it. A bunch of Islanders fans got kicked out today just for being in the lower section.
In 2015, they tried to ban, I think it was if you bought tickets from a non-Florida area code, they wouldn't sell them to you.
They've been doing this bullshit for years. They did it in 2018, too, when the Caps were playing against them.
Third leg Greg.
There are people, coming down trying to get us kicked out.
Yeah. So Remember when Nate got slapped?
Yeah, that was funny. Bad sports town. Bad sports town. Actually, it's crazy. Like, Tampa Bay, they had no excuse to be this type of bad sports town until the last, 2 years. Now they're the epicenter of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in everything.
You remember that letter that the Lightning wrote to their fans a couple years ago?
The best letter ever. Pull hilarious. It up and read it to us, Jake. I want to hear that from you. Let me get to Who's Back of the Week. Who's Back of the Week is brought to you by...
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Jake, the Lightning.
We don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them. We understand your anger, your frustration, your sadness, everything you're feeling. We get it. This isn't the ending we imagined, and certainly not the one we wanted. Thank you for being there the entire way.
They did win the cup after.
Yeah. Apologies work, I guess. That's
just an all-timer.
Cuffed themselves.
An all-timer. That's just a social media team that's not living in reality.
I think the social media team was just, that was them, that was their version of notesapping, like something problematic that they had done in their past. Like, when you see somebody get their old tweets brought up, that's the social media team equivalent of doing that.
And little do they know, all they had to do was type out final period.
Yeah.
And that would have been more than enough. More than enough. All right, who's back of the week? Hank.
Who's back of the week is Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
There was a lot of big fights this weekend, high-profile guys, UFC, TikTokers, YouTubers. But on Friday night, Lamar Odom versus Aaron Carter.
Aaron Carter.
I was going to say Aaron Paul, but that's not his name.
No.
Aaron Carter. I don't know what this fight was. I didn't see any promotion about it other than Buddha Ben tweeting about it and then the video that came out after. But it was just Lamar Odom just dummying fucking Aaron Carter. Obviously, huge height difference. It didn't look like Aaron Carter was trained at all. And he just beat the shit out of him.
Aaron Carter also fought like he was mad. Lamar Odom fought like he was just annoyed that this little guy was buzzing around him like a mosquito.
I like the idea that, you know how in the Fyre Fest, when they did their promotion, they're like, we're just going to pay all the Instagram influencers a ton of money to promote this. This fight company was like, we'll just pay Buddha Ben, and that will be enough.
It worked. I mean, I was interested.
The video was pretty hilarious of Aaron Carter just like sprinting at him, and Lamar Odom just being like, get away from me, weirdo. Your brother's band sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I also watched the YouTube versus TikTok fights on a YouTube stream where some kids said it was the title of it was Fortnite with the Boys. And it was like one of those streams where the kid would come on and interrupt.
How'd you find it?
I think I just typed it in Twitter, and then I clicked a link, and it was like Fortnite with the boys. When I was on, it was like 800 people, and by the end of it, there was like 80,000. I thought I was going to get.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious if Dana White was running one of those, totally undercut the competition. He's FaceTiming the screen.
By the way, Nate Diaz, he's the best.
He loves getting his ass kicked.
He loves just, and he loves also like losing, but having everyone respect him the most.
Yeah,
and be like, dude. He was about to knock him out, and he really could have if he just didn't. He was doing that weird thing where he was like standing sideways.
Oh,
the whole time.
He was presenting his asshole to him. Like that's literally what he was doing. He was like,
puts on a show.
He was looking over his shoulder, like, come on over here, big boy. You won't. And then every time he would get tagged in the face, he would like take a second and smile and be like, "That was good. I like that."
We're gonna get him on the show. We actually at one point had him. He missed a flight, I think. Or no, something happened where he...
You could, like, fishbowl the studio.
Yeah, no, the question that was asked to me before I was trying to get him on, and I was talking to some guys, and they were like, you guys cool with, like, if Nate smokes? And we're like, yeah, definitely. Let's all smoke. So hopefully we have Nate on at some point, and we all smoke. That would be awesome. I'm going to put that in my to-do list.
Just a future reminder.
Yeah, I'm going to get back into contact with the guy.
Above or below the dick sucking?
Oh, below.
Yeah, when
below.
Do we want? Suck, how many weeks?
Self suck?
Below.
Yeah.
Below dick sucking, but Aaron Rodgers retiring.
That's today.
He's going to, he's going to get traded this week.
Okay.
Yes.
So what date do you want this reminder?
I think every Sunday night.
Thursday for this the Nate Thursday. Diaz.
Oh, Nate, oh, for the Nate one. Okay.
To reach out to his people and try to get that. Thursday. But that's a guaranteed have to be in person.
Yes.
Cannot do a Nate Diaz interview over Zoom.
Hank, weren't you supposed to do that thing with the leaf blower where you just smoke out the entire studio?
We'll do that in front of Nate Diaz.
We have to do that with Nate
Diaz.
We'll
do that in front of Nate Diaz. That would be incredible.
I'm in.
I bought the pound. And then
Nate Diaz for Grit Week.
We got acquired by Penn, and I was told we shouldn't. But with Nate Diaz,
if we're in a legal state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
I had to just.
I'm going to do everything I can for the AWLs, Nate Diaz for Grit Week.
Is it?
I think we could probably pay him to just.
Yeah.
If we just bought him a flight somewhere.
Is that. That's not illegal, though, to buy a pound of marijuana and then smoke it with the boys with Nate Diaz, is it?
In a legalized state, it's not.
I think it still is illegal to own over a pound.
An ounce. We'll do a couple ounces.
We'll figure it out.
Do an ounce.
Listen,
I think
details
we'll
later, but just put it in their own calendar. We're going to do
it. We should get really high and invent a new Taco Bell item.
That would be great. Done.
Make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Papa Diaz. I have a feeling if I get high, now that I'm all I'm thinking about is Papa Diaz.
You're just going to recreate the Papa Diaz again?
Yeah, what if we just folded it?
Yeah.
Which are deep fried.
Yeah. That actually is why I think the Papadilla...
Was deep fried?
No, was why I was like drawn to it. I thought it was a new Taco Bell item.
Mm.
And Taco Bell only releases the best items.
Facts.
Okay. Cheesy Gordita Crunch. Best fast food item maybe ever.
Yeah.
Best food ever.
All right. PFT.
My Who's Back of the Week is Jeremy Toobin. Jeffrey Toobin came back with a vengeance on CNN last week.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought him back on. He's a guy that you might remember. He got caught jacking off on a Zoom meeting with the New Yorker staff. And so he got fired from the New Yorker, and he was a legal analyst on CNN. They brought him back on, and the female anchor that brought him to the desk introduced him. And then she's like, maybe we should take just a second to get everybody recapped on why you haven't shown your face around here. And he was like, yeah, I guess if you want to do that, go ahead. And then she spent about a minute and a half talking about how he got caught jacking off on a Skype call at his other job and wasn't welcome back, or he got fired from that job. And it was, I love seeing somebody just get publicly shamed for jacking off.
Yep.
And with Jeffrey Toobin, I need like a disclaimer on my screen at all times when he's presenting any sort of legal advice. He should wear like a scarlet letter, but it's like the eggplant emoji on his chest. Or at the very least, give me like a yellow box like they show on a score bug for flags. When Jeremy Toobin shows up, give me a yellow box that pops up. It's like, this guy jacks off.
It should be the jackass. It should be like, warning, this man has jacked off in front of a camera before.
Warning, this guy masturbates.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing more of him on the TV. He's just... If you were him, he's probably, what, like 60, what do you think, 65, 61 years old? Respect respect, first of all, to Jeffrey Toobin for continuing to have a healthy sex life with his hand when you're 61. I've just always assumed that when you hit 50, you shouldn't jack off anymore. Like, that's...
It's unbecoming,
honestly,
of your age.
Of a gentleman to do that, you can't be jacking off anymore.
I wish that he had just... Because, you know, the CNN thing I watched as well, it was so awkward. And he's like, I hope I can regain your trust. And of course... Like, jerking off in front of your colleagues, whether he says that he doesn't know he was on camera, whatever. Like, very bad. But he should have been like, hey, guys, listen. I'm a guy. I jerk off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You should trust me more because I'm just a regular guy who jerks off. And guess what? This is my pledge to you. I will not do it in front of any more cameras.
They should do a segment called Jacking It with Jeffrey every week where he talks about, like, some Instagram thought.
Lean into it.
Yeah, lean into it. You have to own it at this point. Yeah, dude, guess what? You're going to get bonked once or twice. That's the day and age that we live in. But, yeah, just become the jack-off guy.
Yeah. We should put this in the notes, Jake. Let's try to book him, and let's try to jerk off in front of him.
Yeah.
Have him judge us.
Definitely get a Zoom call going with Toobin.
When would you like me to...
Whenever.
Yeah.
You surprise us.
All right.
You we surprise should, us.
Above or below the
where, what am I?
We should actually try
what's
to self-suck on the Zoom call with Jeffrey
Toobin. Yeah,
so we'll interview him, and then we'll just... Right in the middle of it, we'll say that we thought the cameras were off.
Yeah,
we'll just start trying to give ourselves head.
I would like to do an exit interview with Jeffrey Toobin, Peter North's dick.
Do we want to do it like during football season?
Maybe before.
Yeah, that feels like
or after
a week,
before or after.
All right, second we go August.
Yeah.
All right,
Alpha Week.
Wait, when's National Masturbation Day?
I know it's right after Pupperino Day.
National Masturbation Day is May 7th.
May 7th. Shit. We just missed it.
Damn it.
All right. So next year, May 7th. Put it in. All right.
to all those who celebrate.
Who's like back? May 1st, though, so we can.
Yeah. So we get a little bit of. Yeah. My Who's Back is the Cubs are back. I have no statistics behind this. The hottest team in baseball. And also, Wrigley is packed. And also, Anthony Rizzo was under fire on Friday because he didn't get vaccinated, but then he had like one of those 16 pitch at bats where he hit a home run, which is the coolest thing you can do in a baseball game. So pretty much all's forgiven.
And nobody's going to bring up the vaccination stuff after an at bat like that.
No, exactly. Like it was, watching it live, it was what. It is one of the coolest things to do when you're watching a baseball game and a guy keeps fouling off every single pitch and you get to like 12, 13, 14 pitches and you just know like, he's going to do something sweet because you can just feel it and the crowd rises and everyone gets into it and then boom, home run. So yeah, everything else he said earlier that day, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But also you should get vaccinated.
I got offered a trade in my fantasy baseball league, CMed Express. Anthony Rizzo was on it. I declined it
because
I don't want him infecting
you
my team.
You want to keep 85% threshold.
I don't want to have him getting my other players sick.
Yeah. 85% threshold.
Yep. I want to keep it like that so my guys can enjoy life, stay loose a little bit.
It was a sick home run, though.
It was. It was very sick.
Very sick home run.
There's nothing better than like any at-bat that goes above 10 pitches that ends in a hit.
Yes.
Forget about a home run that ends in a hit. It feels like you've just watched the greatest movie of all time.
And you can also say, you can sound like you are a true baseball analyst and be like, that was a professional at-bat.
Yeah.
That was a professional at-bat.
All the kids at home.
It's just great seeing the crowds back. Like, I know that we've done this before, the fans. What do we say? By, like, Thanksgiving, you have to stop saying great to have fans back?
Yeah, you got
to
have at least one home game in every major sport at all the iconic destinations.
Okay, yeah. So that was this weekend. It was Cubs-Cardinals. It was a beautiful Friday afternoon game, like, beautiful weather, and everyone's having a great time in the bleachers. The best.
Oh, it just occurred to me, with the Suns guy that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Suns are a team of destiny? We talked about the gorilla.
I think so.
For Harambe?
Yeah, I think so. Until Chris Paul gets hurt, because that's going to happen soon. But we're a Suns podcast. Seriously, just another pat on the back for us. To switch from a regular season Nuggets podcast, we put a fucking MVP in our trophy case, and then we switch to the team that gets swept by.
Everything we touch turns to gold on this show.
All-time move.
Water Dogs are on fire.
Yeah, Water Dogs can't stop winning. Literally cannot stop winning. Jake, who's back?
Simone Biles. She won the U.S. Gymnastics Championship, seventh all-around national title. Just a good reminder that coming up the Olympics, U.S. is just good at very niche sports.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was a clip of Simone Biles, super slow motion, and it blew my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Like, the shit she does the in athleticism. The air is insane.
Well, she's doing the Biles.
Yeah, she's doing the Biles.
Those are the moves that she does.
But watching it in super slow mo,
because there's like five different.
She must be done.
There's like five different moves that she does in the air.
Yeah,
I would forget what I was doing next.
I would just.
She's doing like two flips, a twist, another flip, another twist.
I'd break every single ball. You know what I would do is if I went on one of those fucking bouncy mats. The minute I tried to lift off, my ankles would just shatter.
Your body would, pull, would be that's it. Your soul pulling,
you know,
the eject cord.
You know what I also would do is I'd end like this.
Hand up,
and
stick
I would get at least 1 point for that. That's true. If you do this, you get, it's like the SATs, right?
Well, yeah.
If you put your name down, you get 200 points. If you end like this,
it's not just that. You have to salute the judges,
right?
The judges demand respect. You have to look at the judges, present yourself to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you've got like compound fractures,
feet together,
in both legs, you're looking like Lieutenant Dan.
Won't be hard.
You hit the floor, and you just like look at them and go like that. I mean,
yeah.
That's better than some Olympians have done.
Won't be hard to have my ankles be touching because the bones will be just sticking out, both touching that way.
You've got the scooter.
And then I'm just, whoop.
Get you right off.
Wow, that was majestic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to our interview with Bobby Valentine. We got some segments coming up after. Before we get to our interview, PFT, you had a quick word from our sponsor?
Yes, I'm very excited about this. So we've talked a little bit about the show Dave on this podcast. I actually watched the entire season one.
So good.
It's coming back. It's coming back, and today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by that all-new season. Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Bobby Valentine.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Bobby Valentine. Why did I just screw that up?
Valentin?
Valentin. Valentine.
Has anyone ever called you Valentin, like a teacher back in school?
Oh, sure.
I get in my own head when I pronounce names. Bobby Valentine, very excited to have you on. There's a lot we got to talk about, but you are running for mayor of Stamford. That's how I saw you pop up the other day, your ad, which was fantastic. And let's just start at the most important topic, because I pointed out that I would like to be part of your campaign team. And the first order of business would be we wouldn't do a single ad without mentioning that you invented the rap. So we need to talk about you inventing the rap. You are one of the greatest inventors of all time. It's up there with Michelangelo. I don't know who else. Thomas Edison. Who else invented stuff?
I mean, there are a lot of inventors, but you go down the list and you see the guy that invented the wrap.
Like the wrap.
You actually changed the sandwich game.
Yes. The people eat wraps all the time. So let's do it. Let's talk about...
Hank also would be on that list.
Yeah, Hank would be on the list. Yeah, all right. Let's talk about the wrap, and then we can talk about everything else, and we want to talk about you running for mayor and all that. But the wrap. You invented the wrap.
First off, I think it's a little misnomer that I invented it, because I think you create stuff in the kitchen. So I'm not sure... Even though they always say I invented it, I don't think that's the case. But, you know, it's a simple story. In 1981, I'm cooking. You know, I open up a restaurant. I've been in the business for a year. The cook doesn't show up. I go back in the line. I'm flipping hamburgers, the whole nine yards. And the president of the bank that loaned me the money just opened the restaurant, came in, and he wanted a club sandwich, which he always wanted, even though we didn't have a club sandwich on the menu. Now, a club sandwich that he wanted was always on toast. Well, this particular day, the toaster was out of order. And this particular day, we just received a big batch of 10-inch tortilla shells from Phoenix, Arizona, because in New England, they didn't have nachos in 81, okay? That was a West Coast thing. And so we were cutting the tortilla shells and deep frying them to get the nacho chip and put them in our nachos. Well, when he came in and asked for the club sandwich in the middle of lunch, I had about 20 hamburgers that I'm trying to test their temperatures. I said, we'll get him something. And I took a 10-inch tortilla. I put all the ingredients of a club sandwich, the mayo, the whole nine yards. I rolled it up. I put cheese on the top of it. I put it underneath the salamander. I melted the cheese to hold the layer together. I took it out. I cut it into three pieces. I sent it out to him and told the waitress, Debbie Greeny at the time, tell him this is a club sandwich, Mexican style. And he loved it. It became a favorite in the restaurant. We put it on the menu. And about 4 months later, my manager was on one of these little cooking stations, and he was in the kitchen showing what we do in our restaurant. And they said, do you have anything special? He says, oh, yeah. You know, we invented this new sandwich type called the wrap. Well, there were a lot of naysayers when this came out, and then more naysayers when I went up to manage in Boston. So a couple of the really cool reporters up there decided that they get their friends at the Wall Street Journal to do a national search to find out who had a wrap sandwich on the menu before 1981. And guess what? They couldn't find anyone. And they said, I invented the wrap.
You invented the wrap. What a story.
True.
I know you know, a major league manager, incredible career, successful restaurant, running for mayor. You do know, though, that, like, you inventing the wrap is the number one accomplishment, and it should be, and it's like, Bobby Valentine, he invented the wrap.
I think it's right at the top of the platform. Yeah, that and wearing a mustache into the dugout. Right. These are the things I'm known for. You know, I had an illustrious career. I really did a lot of stuff. Yeah, I invented a wrap. Hey, you know, that restaurant, by the way, it wasn't after a successful career. That was after playing 10 years in the big leagues, and I had $6,000 in the bank. And I was at a charity dinner where a guy said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm waiting for the phone to ring. I had played with the Seattle Mariners in 79. And he said, what if the phone doesn't ring? I said, whoa, I'm in trouble. He says, well, you probably saved a lot of money in your career, didn't you? And I said, yeah, a little over $6,000. Now, the most I ever made was $28,000 as a player. That's for a year. And I said, well, I don't really have an option. He said, you ever think about doing a restaurant? And I said, no. He showed me this place. He said, I'll be your partner. We could get some inexpensive financing. And this is 1979, guys. I didn't know about financing. You know what I mean? And if you wanted to borrow money from a bank, then it was 17.5%.
Whoa, loan shark.
Yeah, in this one particular area, it was urban renewal zone. And so the federal government was loaning money to people who wanted to invest in the urban renewal zone. So we got cheaper money. I got $33,000. My dad and I took down the walls and the ceilings and the floors and built the tables and the bars and even some of the chairs. And we opened up with a sports ticker, a satellite dish, which were unknown to people. I really actually think the first sports ticker in America was in Stamford, Connecticut.
You invented sports bars, too.
Yeah.
You invented the entire concept of, like, a Buffalo Wild Wings. That credit should go to Bobby Valentine as well.
Oh, at least full credit.
Yeah. Yes. And I like the fact that you said you made sure that we used the correct nomenclature, which was you created the wrap. To me, that tells me that you are the true inventor of it. Because if you were just trying to take all the credit for it, you'd be like, yeah, that's me. I invented it. But it's more of an art form in the kitchen. I'm curious how, like, if you go out to a restaurant and a wrap is on the menu, how quick are you to point out to your server, like, you know, I invented that or I created that, excuse me?
I can tell you I never did it. Over all of the years, I probably bought a lot of wraps, and I never brought it up only because, you know, this was 1981. It was 2012 when the Wall Street Journal did the thing. So I wasn't going to say it because people would say, oh, BS at that time. Now they'll say, oh, I'll Google that. That can't be true. Mm-hmm. Right? So I didn't want anybody calling BS on something like that.
Right. So you brought it up, wearing the fake mustache, coming back into the dugout after you got ejected from a game. One of the all-time visuals in the history of the sport of baseball. You come back in incognito, in disguise, trying to blend in. Did you have the mustache ready to go because you knew that you would be ejected at some point? And you were like, I'm going to pull this stunt out. Or was it just like a crime of opportunity where you walked back and you saw the mustache in the clubhouse and you're like, you know what? This feels like a good thing to do.
I wish I could take credit for that one. I can't. It was Oral Hershiser and Robin Ventura who were in the clubhouse after I got ejected. And after I got through kicking a few of the stools, they said, hey, you got to go back out there. Because we had a situation where I had some new coaches in the dugout who didn't really know our team. It was extra innings. Maybe there's going to be an important managerial maneuver. And they wanted me out there. I said, I can't go out there, guys. I can't do it. And they said, yeah, here, put on this hat, put on these glasses, take off your uniform and go out there just a T-shirt. And I did. The glasses and the hat and the T-shirt. I went into the training room and I looked in the mirror to see what it would look like. And then I looked down and I saw the stickums that you put underneath your eye, you know, to keep the reflection of the sun. And so I took one of them and I put it over here and I took another and I put it over here. I looked at them and Oral said, oh, they'll never know. Yeah. With that, I went down there. It cost me $10,000. Well, didn't really. They fined me $10,000 and a 3-day suspension, and I got it reduced to a $5,000 fine and a 2-day suspension for some ridiculous reason.
So what was the fallout? Was it like, did anyone – I would assume the guys in the clubhouse liked it. What about the owners? Like, were they like, what are you doing? Why would you do this?
Well, I did it because it was a tough time in the season. I just want you to know, you guys will like this because you can Google it if you want. But like 3 days before, when there was a change of my coaches, I had to do a press conference at Yankee Stadium. Okay. My coaches were gone. I had to sit and take questions and answers. And one of the questions was, why didn't you leave with your coaches and show them loyalty? And I said, well, because they told me to stay here, turn this around so they could get a cut of the money at the end of the season when we make the playoffs. And one of the reporters said, yeah, well, what's your record going to be in the next 55 games? And I got up and I was walking out, and then I stopped and I looked at him and I said, we'll go 40-15. And he said, what if you don't? As I was walking, I mean, a really fun New York press corps, huh? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
What if you don't? I had no sleep, you know, the whole night with my coaches. And I looked over and I said, if we don't, I'll quit. And just because Google's out there, we went 40-15.
There you go.
Wow.
And the job.
Unbelievable.
So everyone was all weirded out in the dugout when I got thrown out. And so I went out for a little levity. And the guy who was the most stoic guy on our team was John Olerud. You couldn't get him to laugh or smile if you had a magician and a clown come in at the same time. And he was walking up to the on-deck circle, and he kind of looked over his shoulder, and he saw me down at the end of the dugout. And he stopped, and he was laughing. And then everyone turned their head down the dugout to see what he was laughing at. And with that, the third base camera that was over third base in the second deck zoomed down into the dugout where I was standing at the end, busted.
Narc. Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's almost like, If everybody had just played it cool at the time, you probably would have gotten away with it.
Play it cool, guys.
Yeah. And when you're talking to Major League Baseball after the fact, I would have just told them it was funny. Come on, you have to admit that it's funny. Is that why they knocked the suspension down or the fine down from $10,000 to $5,000? Because they were like, you know what? At the end of the day, a laugh's a laugh.
Leonard Coleman, who was the president of the National League at the time. At the time, you had a president of the National League and president of the American League and the commissioner. I appealed it to him. He was a really good guy. Matter of fact, he was a friend of a friend of mine, and they still play golf together. And I went in and said, oh, Mr. President, you got to give me a break on this one. It's a tough situation. Everyone laughed. We won the game. There was no harm done. I never put on a play. I didn't have any involvement with what went on. It was only for two innings. And he said, yeah, Bobby, I laughed when I saw it too, but I have to be the president. $5,000, 2-day suspension.
I like it. So you've been around the game for a long time, and it seems like the credo of baseball is almost, it's not cheating if you can get away with it, or it's not cheating if they don't call it. You take every advantage that you can to win a game, and recently we've seen Major League Baseball start to crack down, or they say they're going to crack down, on some of the sticky stuff that pitchers have been using. Has that been something that's just been part of the game for the last 40, 50 years, and now it's just coming to the forefront, or is this like a recent development?
Oh, it's recent, and it's much more refined, right? The sticky stuff isn't by chance. It's by trial and error to find out what works the best. And, you know, in the day, if you will, if you go back even 25 years ago, pitchers would have these gross calluses on the end of their fingers. Sometimes the calluses would break off and become a blister, and the pitcher wouldn't pitch for a couple weeks until the skin grew back. You know, they put on new skin and all these things to try to get the skin to grow back. But they had the big calluses so that when their fingers were on the seam of the ball and the ball would leave their fingers, it would create more spin. Huh? Well, the smart guys got together and they said, well, I'm tired of getting blisters and having my wife say that I have an ugly finger or two or three or whatever it is. I'm going to do it a different way. And so they get this super sticky stuff. One of the things I remember guys fooling around with was the mice paper. You know, you put in your attic, mm-hmm. and when a little mouse goes on, they, oh, I'm here forever type of stuff.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
It's there forever. They started fooling around with that because you really had to have arm speed. And you really had to have it going to get the ball off. But when it came off, you created more spin. And that's where we are today. And, you know, just as far as that's concerned, why do we always have to hang our dirty laundry out in public? Why can't Major League Baseball, when they have these situations, like the other sports? I don't ever hear of a scandal in the other sports. You mean I'm not going to mention any sports, but, you know, if you could be 6'5", 340 pounds, and run a 4.4 and do it all naturally,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, God bless you.
Yeah.
But you don't get tested. They're not talking about a problem that they have or for anything else that people might use to enhance their performance. It's only baseball. It's just, oh, we're cheating again. And what a lousy image that has created.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think what happens with baseball is a lot of times baseball will ignore a problem until it becomes so public, and then they'll try to find one or two guys to stick it on. You know, the steroid era was very prevalent. Everyone was doing it. And then, you know, you get a couple guys that you put in front of, you know, the grand jury or whatever it was, a congressional hearing, and you say, well, this is the face of the problem, just like this one right now. Like, hey, Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer are the face of the problem. No, probably everyone's done it, and you guys have just ignored it for long enough that it became public, and now you got to do something.
Spot on. You are so exactly right. And I don't know. Maybe, you know, some say it's lack of leadership, but I don't get it. I am tired of defending our sport. It's a pretty good sport. And not everyone cheats, but everyone tries to do things that will give them an advantage. Was it cheating? I'm not sure. You know, I used to flash signals in from second base. Heck, when I coached third base, if the catcher was, you know, showing me the sign once in a while, I had a signal with the hitter, especially the left-handed hitters, who would look down and see what I was doing. I'd give them either location or pitch. Was I cheating? I don't know if I was cheating. I think, you know, shame on them for letting me get the sign. And that stuff with the signs and the Astros, I just have to say this one real quick, because I'm not the smartest guy in the room. But if the Astros got this technology from NASA that was going to steal these signs and relay them to the dugout on internet, Wi-Fi with fiber optics, and in a megasecond, they were going to get the sign and they were going to relay it to the hitter. Believe me, guys, they wouldn't be butt banging on a garbage drum to give the hitter a signal.
Huh.
Okay? If you want me to believe that, then you probably have some waterfront property in Arizona you want me to purchase.
Wow. So let's unpack that a little bit, because you can hear the garbage can being hit at certain times. Are you saying that they didn't cheat? Or are you saying that it's the line of thinking that it was players like Altuve that had the vibrating bandages that they were sending it in on.
It was very high tech. It had to be very high tech. Guys, if the catcher said something to the umpire during an at-bat, I would hear it in the opposing dugout.
Who?
Huh? If the hitter went up there and made some noise that sometimes people laugh at when it slips, huh? I would hear it in the dugout. How could I not hear someone banging the drum when the curveball was coming? Come on! They were banging it to the side. They probably banged it when fastballs, banged it with curveballs, banged it with sliders. And, you know, the opposition said, well, we can't decipher the code, so it must not be anything with the banging of the drum.
Interesting. Huh. I like the notion that NASA was there helping out. That kicks it up an extra notch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I only say that because I've heard that they were leaned on when the new administration came in to deal with a lot of the metrics, you know, the swing and the pitch, the mechanic, because they weren't doing much down there in Houston. And they got some of these real smart guys to come in and evaluate the mechanics and biomechanics of the players. They had a nice edge there. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm guessing one of the biomechanical guys came up and brought one of the IT guys up and said, hey, why don't we just relay the signals too?
Yeah.
I'm just call it a hunch.
Yeah, I would like to see hunch. maybe SpaceX got involved with the Dodgers after they lost to the Astros, and then Elon Musk is now helping the Dodgers out.
Maybe, or you know, one of the astronauts in that SpaceX played baseball at Army, and he might be part up there right now. Might be relaying some of the signs down.
Let's go. We got to get you on InfoScores. I like where your head's at.
All right. So not to bring up bad things, Bobby, but we have to address the Red Sox season, the chicken and beer thing, because I know that people who listen to this show are Red Sox fans would be like, you got to bring it up. So biggest regret from that year, and what if you could go back and do it all again, what would you change?
I would have stayed at ESPN.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah, they were ready to give me a multi-year contract, and I was loving the job. And you know, yeah, I just you know, everyone has the woulda, shoulda, you know, and regrets. I have a few. I took that job like in December. You know, I usually before a season, I usually started preparing for the next season the day the previous season ended.
Right.
I didn't even have a coaching staff. I didn't know the players. I had to fly around the country on New Year's Eve to meet guys who the front office thought I might have offended with something I said when I was doing ESPN telecast, to make sure that they were going to be cool with me coming in as their manager, you know, before the season started. And then when I got there, they said, and make sure you tell everyone you can't have beer in the clubhouse. I said, whoa. I said, what am I going to drink after the game?
Right.
I mean, are you kidding me? No one wants a cold beer better than me on a hot summer day. And they said, no, the manager has to do it. I said, it's not my responsibility. It's not my liability. I mean, if someone drinks too much in the clubhouse after the game, goes out and runs someone over, you know, I'm not the one responsible. The person with the liquor license is responsible.
Yeah.
Now, I know that from being a bar owner for 40 years. So, you know, I didn't want to do that, but I came in as this super cop, which I'm not. You know, I mean, I'm anything but the guy who goes all the way over to enforce silly rules. So anyway, yeah, it started off bad, and it was kind of okay for a little while, but then Patriots Day, you know, I ride a bike every morning, and so I got up real early at 5 a.m. and I'm riding down riding over to Cambridge and down the river and across, and came back about 6:30 in the morning for this 10 a.m. game, I think it is, or 11, and one of my players was waiting for me when I came back, and he was all upset about something I said the night before in a TV interview. Now, you got to get this. I'm sweaty. I'm in my bike stuff. It's early in the morning, huh? And I'm going, I didn't have an interview last night. what are you talking about? I wasn't on TV last night. Yeah, you were. You were on an interview last night, and you said that I wasn't playing up to my capabilities. And I said, ooh, no, I don't think so. And then he left and was real upset, saying that I was lying. Then I found out that the first taped show, which was taped Sunday before the game on Sunday, was aired on Sunday night. This is Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when it was aired. I didn't know the process up in Boston. I was there for a few weeks. You know, I just moved into an apartment. So anyway, he goes out into the clubhouse. Hey, the guy's lying to me. You guys hear what he said and all that stuff. Then I had to take it back and said, yeah, I was on TV last night. It was taped. So I would have taken that one back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the season goes on up there, and like obviously a big part of being a manager, I think, is to keep the clubhouse loose. You have so many games, it can grow a little bit tiresome. It can be monotonous over the course of the season. You want to let the guys have some fun. You want to treat them like men and let them, you know, do what they want to do at certain times in order to, you know, make sure the team stays cohesive. Do you regret? Was it a little bit too laissez-faire that season, where at the end the storyline did become like, they were drinking too much beer and they were eating too much chicken?
No, remember, I wasn't there for the chicken and beer. I wasn't there that year. I came in the next year after the general manager at midnight flew the coop and went to Chicago, and the manager retired. And I got a call while I was over in Japan partying with all my players at one of our anniversary seasons. And I was at dinner. I got a phone call and I got the job offered to me. So no, I didn't even know about the chicken and beer. I knew about it from a story on ESPN that they talked about. I thought it was crazy. It was at the end of the season. I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, when you talk about being loose, that's one of the places that you actually get a little looser. You have a beer with the guys, you go over and you say, hey, what are you doing? You're all right. You know, relax. Tomorrow's another day, something like that. One day I tried to tell this Will Middlebrooks, who I loved as a player, by the way, who took over for Euclid when Euclid left, which was a real big burden on him to replace a star like Euclid in that area. He made three errors in a game. And I went over to him, sat by his locker after the game. I said, hey, dude, no big deal. I played for the Dodgers. I made three errors in a game. When I was coming off of the field, it was seat cushion night, and everybody was standing up in the second deck, and they were flying the seat cushions down trying to hit me as I was coming off of the field. We don't even have seat cushion night here, man. You're cool. Don't worry about it. That became a story that I was hitting him from making three errors in a game. Huh. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could happen. Yeah. All right.
If it could happen that year, it happened.
Right. Where it's just kind of everything that could go bad goes bad. So, talking about managers, you did play at one point for a Hall of Fame manager, may he rest in peace, Tommy Lasorda, who has been on, he was on this show before he passed away, legend of the game. What was he like in his heyday when he was, you know, fire and brimstone and you know, full of it?
Well, when I played for him, he was really full of it. Okay, I left Stamford, Connecticut as an 18-year-old, went out to Ogden, Utah. He was my rookie league manager. From there, he became my AAA manager for 2 years, and we went to Venezuela and the Dominican Republic during the wintertime, and we played there. He was just learning to be a manager. He was just learning how to get a free meal at every restaurant he went into. He was just learning how close you could get to an umpire without touching him while chewing a tobacco and not spitting on him. I mean, he was perfecting everything that made him a caricature, and one of the great guys in uniform ever. My only regret is I never played for him in the major leagues, but I watched him from afar. I played against him when I was with the Padres and the Mets, and when I got to manage the All-Star game in 2001, I went to the commissioner and asked special permission if I could have an additional coach. He had already retired. If I could have Tommy in the dugout with me so that we could say that we were in uniform one time in the major leagues, and he allowed it. But I don't know if you know that blooper film. That's when he talked me into going out and coaching third base. And Vladimir Guerrero swung at a low and away slider, let go of the bat, and it went spinning with overweight old man Tommy Lasorda seeing it zoom in on his forehead. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yep.
To a standing ovation of 50,000 people. And he got up, cleaned himself up. And I swear, before he went out there, he said, Tommy, you haven't been out there in a long time. It's happening quickly. These balls are coming down there. If you die when you're out there, I'll never, ever be able to live with myself. You're not. That was in the first inning. Second, let me go out there, Bobby. Let me go. Tommy, believe me, it's not your place. I got to go out there. I'll get us some runs. I got to go out there. So by the fourth inning, I said, all right, take it. We need some runs. First hitter, he almost died. It's amazing.
What a story.
So he's like, he's notorious as being a fiery guy. Like in the time that we met him, I think he recounted probably a dozen different stories of times that he either got into a fight with somebody or wanted to fight somebody. Did he ever try to fight you? Because I almost feel like that's a badge of honor. That's when Tommy loves you, is when he cares enough about you to try to take a swing.
He never tried to take a swing, but one day I didn't listen to him. I was playing shortstop in the bottom of the ninth, and he was going from the dugout, Bobby, move over. Bobby, move over. And I moved over about that far, you know, and the guy took a swing. Bobby, move over. And I moved over about that far. Then the guy hit the ball, and he hit a slow hopper to my right. I fielded it, man on third, two outs, tie score, threw it to first. We pulled him safe. We lost the game. The clubhouse was in right field. He met me in the middle of the diamond as the game ended and walked that far from my ear as I was walking to the clubhouse in right field. And he said everything about me that anybody who really didn't like me would say about me, and he screamed it at the top of his lungs. So no, we never went to battle, but he screamed at me a lot, that's for sure.
So I think you might be our first, we've been doing this for a very long time, I think you might be our first major league manager, which is crazy. Ooh. I think that's true. Like, yeah. We just haven't been able to get major league managers on the show. So I have to ask this question. When it comes to getting kicked out of a game, what is the thought process of, like, kicking dirt on the ump's shoes, stealing a base? Did you ever steal a base? Like, any of that stuff, you know, turning your hat backwards? Talk us through that, because that is, in my mind, and, you know, watching baseball, there's a lot of funny quirks of the game, but when a manager gets tossed, there's something really special where it's like, all right, here comes a show. We really want to see him earn it. So what was your approach when you knew, I'm going out there, I'm not coming back, I'm getting tossed. What are you going to do to toss me?
Well, the real argument comes after they toss you. Sometimes they toss you just because of nuance. You know, one time I asked the umpire if I could get thrown out for what I was thinking. And when he said no, he threw me out of the game. You know, so and then you start because I told him what I was thinking.
Yeah, which was, I think you said, I think that you're a piece, like your calls were terrible or something.
I probably questioned his ability to work as a professional.
Yeah,
probably.
Yes.
But you're spot on. It's all theatrics. There were times, most every time I got kicked out of a game, as I was walking by, and in this, as you say, the nuances of the game, one of my players would say, "Way to go, Skip," you know, under his breath, or I'd wink at him as I was going by, you know, like, you know, it was a good act.
And
you didn't want to waste their time if it wasn't a good act. So you had to have your stuff together. I had a lot of practice. I had about 24 times that I walked off the field into the clubhouse, and I got caught once coming back in a, we already talked about that.
Yeah. But did you ever do the kick the dirt? I kicked the dirt.
I kicked the dirt or threw the bases. I remember one time Chuck Knobloch was given second base on a play when we were playing this interleague series. You know how tough that was back in 98 and 97 when it was first interleague play and the Yankees got to play the Mets. It was like the end of the world.
Yes.
Everything mattered with what was going on in those games. And I think it was like in the first inning, Todd Zeal was standing over at first base and Knobloch hit a ball and he kind of ran around Zeal and he was out at second base by 20 feet. And the umpire called obstruction on Todd Zeal and gave Knobloch a double. And I happened to know the rule book pretty good. And I started reciting the rule to him and saying that obstruction occurs. You point to it. The play continues. Then it's your determination whether the obstruction what caused the guy to be out at the next base. If it wasn't the obstruction that caused him to be out, then he's out. If it was, then he's safe. But the play continues. He was out by 20 feet. Mm-hmm. There's no way that just running around Todd caused him to be out by that much. And so I ran in the steps. It was the first inning, right? So you could see the strides in the dirt, the way Knobloch came around, right? And so I started running in those strides and yelling as I was running. It was kind of theatrical.
Footprints in the sand, yes. Like the old poem.
I love it. I love all that stuff. I do always appreciate when a manager covers home with dirt, being like, here, you clean this up. And then the ump never cleans it up. They always make the catcher clean it up.
Yep.
But it's always the best. Yes.
Or that one, the minor league manager a couple years ago that did the army crawl, grabbed the rosin bag, pretended it was a grenade, and threw it.
I like that one, by the way.
That was a good move.
You did get kicked out once. You said you got kicked out because your breath stunk.
Oh, probably. At least that's what they said. You got too close and your breath stinks, you're gone. Yeah.
So that's always been one of my favorite, one of the big mysteries really of baseball, because they don't let any of the mic'd up segments come out. They let one slip a couple years ago when it was a manager yelling at the umpire. I've always wondered, when you're screaming right in his face, do you just black out and let it fly? Do you remember what you say? Do you have a rehearsed speech that you're giving to him? Or are you guys just like screaming every word that you can think of into each other's mouths?
Okay, well, that's interesting, because Lasorda was the master, and I saw him do it in the minor leagues when you could stay out there for 15 minutes if you want to. And he was spectacular, and he had a way of putting adjectives and adverbs every other word, you know, with you is it was the pronoun that the adjective was the right.
You can cuss on the show. You motherfucker is probably what he was saying.
Yeah. I know. So I learned from him, and I had a kind of a straight intro that always got me going. You know, like, how the fuck could you call that? And then that, or what the fuck were you thinking by calling that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like a prompt for your brain to get started, and then you recognize
that you're in the mode. Exactly. Yes.
Very cool. I also read, this is kind of interesting, you were being considered to be the ambassador to Japan from the United States a few years ago. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. No. You know, that was reported, and just so we know, this was the time when Chris Christie was handling the transition team at the White House. And a friend of mine, Anthony Scaramucci, was dealing to be the press secretary.
The
huh? And during that week, I had received the Rising Sun Award from the Emperor of Japan for building bridges between our two countries. Not only when I was the baseball manager, but afterwards, and when the tsunami hit, I raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to help refurbish fields that were destroyed. I brought teams over to play and all that stuff. And so Anthony was invited to the ceremony, but he was in D.C. And while he was in D.C., he said something about the award and said, wouldn't he be a great ambassador? He builds bridges. The next thing I know, I got a call from some reporter who says, I hear you're being mentioned as an ambassador. I said, maybe I'm being mentioned, but I have nothing to do with that. That's a pay grade a little above mine.
Yeah. All right. So here's another one. You saw a UFO once.
Haven't we all?
I believe UFOs.
I wish I had.
They definitely exist, yes.
So you saw one during a press conference, though.
Yeah, and we stopped at Chase Stadium, and everyone looked, everyone pointed. I said to the press, did you see that? And two or three of the guys said they did. And then I was pretty sure I took a wonderful 17-day excursion down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon in a dory boat, you know, a five-person boat with one oarsman and all that, camped out at night and had a wonderful time. Well, the stars are plentiful, and you can see all the satellites that are circling the Earth very clearly. There was one thing that I saw there. It wasn't a star. It wasn't the moon. And it wasn't a satellite. So I think there's stuff up there.
Yeah, because I was going to say, the one at Chase Stadium, I don't want to tell you what you did or didn't see, but that is next to LaGuardia Airport. So it could have been a plane.
It could have been a plane, but it was at dusk. It wasn't nighttime.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't really high in the sky. But who knows?
Yeah, but
might have been one of those days where they were asking me why I made the pitching change, and I might have wanted to distract them.
But yeah,
that's a great distraction.
But I believe the Colorado River one, that's for sure. All right, so let's talk real quick. You're running for mayor. I watched your ad. I loved it. I do want to work on your campaign. You're running unaffiliated, correct?
I am.
So it's all about the people of Stamford. What are we going to do? I saw you walk across that bridge. I'm a literal learner. So I like that you were walking across a bridge talking about fixing that bridge. And I was like, I see it. I see his vision because you're on the bridge that you need to fix. So what made you get into this? What made you, you know, a lot of people don't want to be in the public eye like this and be in politics. What made you think like, hey, this is a good idea. Let's do it.
It's my hometown, number one. It's been really good to me. You know, I was always treated like, you know, the special son of this town. And, now that I'm at a place where I've had 50 years of experience in five different countries, leading people, changing things, fixing things, making things better when I left, I said, why wouldn't I want to lead one of the finest little cities in America in the right direction going into the next year and out of COVID? You know, I saw a lot of similarities from 9/11 and how we dealt with fear and uncertainty and how we thought we'd never get back on track again, you know? And I think I had a lot to do with some of the healing process. And I think there's a lot of people who need to be healed. There are businesses that need to be healed. There are children who lost a year's education or part of it, and they need to be healed. You know, we have a growing city, but it's growing apart in all of the different sectors of our city. And as that bridge kind of symbolized, I think I could build the bridges that unite the city. Who knows if that's going to work? And do it in unaffiliated, that means I have no party support, no party money, no party IT or data or any of that other stuff. But I have a really great team that I'm building. And I want to see, because I am a team builder, if I could build a team that can win an election and then build a team that runs a great city.
I like that. And then build a team of all the citizens of Stamford together, working together, keeping them loose, too, over the course of the year. I think you've got the right temperament for it. Some of the best leaders I've ever had have been maybe my second, third grade teachers. I remember they'd reward us with pizza parties if we all read, you know, we did all our reading or whatever. What if you did maybe you promised everyone if you pick up X amount of trash in our city parks over the course of one weekend, we're doing a pizza party from Colony Grill. Everybody gets to eat.
I love it. And I think Chris Drury would love it too, because instead of paying all those dollars, he's the owner, you know, of Colony Pizza, or one of the owners, that we'd give him some of the money back. And, you know, there's a lot of private and public partnerships that have to be established for a city of 135,000 to grow the way I see it needing to grow. And one of those things, when you talk about pizza parties, the people who work in the city, right, they make a salary, whether they're in uniform or out of uniform, but they're public servants. A lot of people have decided that this is what they want to do with their time, their energy, and their life. And I don't think they're rewarded enough. I don't think that they're thanked enough. I don't think that there's enough of parties that celebrate their hard work. And I'm hoping that I could have those little gatherings and go to the offices that people sit in for 8 hours a day with dim lights and old computers and tell them I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm. So follow-up question on Colony Grill. Hot oil, are you a stinger guy? What's your order there?
I'm a stinger. I like hot oil.
Yes.
I remember Colony. Daniel Malloy was a mayor of this city and then a governor of our state. And I'm pretty sure I campaigned with him at Colony Grill, 40 years ago or whatever it was. It's a great place.
Yes, it's some of my favorite pizza ever.
Little hypothetical here. If you had to pick one of the two small businesses that you personally had to close down, would it be Colony Grill or the Dan Patrick Show?
Whoa. Luckily, Dan Patrick's up in Milford out of my brevet.
There we go. I was going to say, I was trying to figure out a way to work in a little WWE because that is in Stamford. I think, did they move their headquarters yet? I don't know if they did. Across the street, maybe?
They're going to the UBS building where we had a vacancy there, and they're a great partner, a great company to be in our city. Linda McMahon was a trustee at Sacred Heart University, and her daughter Stephanie and husband, the whole family have been credits to our community and their businesses also.
Yes. Yeah. And so I was thinking, like, I know they were built out of Greenwich, Connecticut, but the Mean Street Posse, maybe we bring them back. Joey Abs, Pete Gass.
Oh, yes. How come you know so much? Absolutely.
Well, I used to love Attitude Era Wrestling. Wow. So yeah, we bring those guys.
Well, someone highly up in your company lives in New Canaan. I think you guys should film right out of the village or one of our cool spaces, new media centers right here in Stamford, Connecticut.
I think that would
really pardon my take.
It's
a good idea. Like how Joe Rogan and everybody's moving to Austin. You make Stamford the Austin of Connecticut.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of podcasters to move in.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Just drop the bag off,
Colony
Bobby.
Grill
we'll do
every
it.
Day.
Can I use that as an original thought or can I say I'll say that I heard it.
Yes.
Part of my take.
I get
full credit. It's cool.
I'm down to appear in an ad if you buy us Colony Grill. Like, we will come up and we will sit there and we'll be like, we endorse this message because we got pizza.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that Chris is now president of the Rangers. Maybe he needs someone to pass the baton to.
Yeah.
Listen, we will be your unofficial. We're just ideas, guys. Yeah. Don't ask us to follow
the
through.
Ideas, guys. Keep them coming.
Inventor of the rap on every ad. All right. So I had one last question. Okay. Last question. It is brought to you by.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This one's kind of random, but you have a collection of every World Series program. Is that correct? Since 1912?
Almost. Yeah. I have 1905. I missed 1909, but I have 1912, which interestingly enough was one of the first ones I collected. And that was the first Boston Red Sox World Series. And 100 years later in 2012, I was managing the Red Sox, so I have that program too.
That's cool. Okay. So
even though we weren't in the World Series,
Like you have all these. I mean, that's a really cool thing to have. Which one's your favorite? What's your specific favorite World Series program?
Well, I have a 1927 Yankee World Series program with a Babe Ruth autograph on it, and I think it gets the most oohs and ahs when I'm. Welcome people around the house.
Absolutely.
It's one of my favorites.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have a 69 Met one that has everyone's signature on it. That's pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome. I had one last question. I still remember watching commercials for the Zen of Bobby V, the movie that was made about you. It was in some major film festivals. Do you remember when that came out? Did you get like a little bump in notoriety? Do you still enjoy watching that movie, or is it one of those things where you watch a movie about yourself and it's like a little cringy because, no one likes the sound of their own voice You can be a little bit more judgmental of yourself on camera.
I was judgmental, but can I give you a quick backstory? We have a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So three college seniors from NYU, they were juniors when they approached me, said, we want to come to Japan. You're doing great things over there. We want to follow you with a camera and do a documentary. And I said, yeah, yeah, get your education and then come and see me again. Well, at the end of the year, they came and see me again at my restaurant in Stanford during the off season. And they said, hey, we did this documentary last year. We moved in an old age home down in Florida. We were there for 3 months with all these people, and we did a wonderful documentary. Take a look. If you like it, maybe we could do it. Well, they get $800,000 from ESPN to travel around with me and the team for the entire season in Japan and make this film, which is or was the first documentary that ESPN ever filmed. Zen of Bobby V, huh? And then they said, whoa, people like this stuff, and started doing more. Just to fast forward, one of the three, as he graduated, we started a little film company. He says, hey, I could do this, I could do this. And so that was in 2007. And it debuted, 2008, it debuted at the Tribeca Film Festival, and the three guys graduated from NYU the next day. Showed on May 13th is my birthday. They graduated on May 14th. Kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But what's more cool is the same guy just was with Bill Murray for months in Europe and filmed a documentary about him with four Philharmonic string concert performers, where he recited poetry, sang songs, and made a documentary. It just got awarded a selection into the Cannes Film Festival in France. And they're going to go there and hope to win an award. And then he gets on a plane and goes to Bangkok, where he is a co-producer of a film with Peter Farley called The Greatest Beer Run Ever. So he's done really well.
Wow.
And it all started with the Zen of Bobby V.
Love it. Love it. Well, Bobby, this has been awesome. So much fun. We really appreciate it. We have to get together, have some Colony Pizza. Also, you got to make us a wrap.
Please.
Yeah, inventor of the wrap. That's just, you got to have that on every time you run an ad at the end. Just be like, oh, yeah, and I invented the wrap. Just to remind people. So let's just do that.
I'm going to work the rap into something.
Okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. It could even just be you sitting at a diner, and it's like, you know, the ad starts, and it's like, oh, didn't see you there, just enjoying my rap.
Or,
wink.
If you want to get to like the literal kind of metaphor thing that you're doing with the bridge, you know, sandwiches are great. A triple-decker sandwich is good, but the bread, it divides the layers, Bobby.
Mm.
And a wrap brings them all together yeah. all in the
Whoa.
Same vessel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we got to do. We got to wrap up Stanford.
Point.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got you. We got you. We got a lot of ideas. We'll get together. We'll do. We'll have a brainstorming session.
Well, I understand why you guys are so popular. You do a great job. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bobby Valentine was brought to you by our good friends over at... Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's do some segments. By the way, breaking news. It has been brought to my attention that we need to say something for our friends in Rado, Colorado. Rado is what the cool people say. I didn't put this together, but someone just mentioned this to me. Colorado just did the unimaginable. They just lost 8 straight playoff games in the course of 2 weeks.
Wow.
And the fight.
The Avalanche were up 2-0, and then they lost 4 straight. And in the midst of those 4 straight losses, the Nuggets got swept.
Thoughts
That's actually Yikes.
That's the Rotto curse.
Like, to not have a win, to have two teams deep in the playoffs and not have a fucking win in 2 weeks.
You know what this is, Big Cat? It's the bargain with the devil that you have to make in order to get Aaron Rodgers traded to your city.
Yes, good point. Really good point. I'm going to match up these schedules real quick. Let's see when they exactly happen, because that is, man. I love Menver. I love Menver.
I'm a Fort Collins guy. I like that guy that goes on the detective shows and talks about how he caught people 40 years ago.
No, I love Menver. I think it's a great city. I've had some fun times. I went to a Rockies game. Unbelievable stadium. Unbelievable mm-hmm. stadium. Jake, can you find it for me while I do this? Tell me exactly when the Avalanche started their four losses and when the Nuggets started their four losses.
I also think it's a curse on the Nuggets for just wearing shitty uniforms.
Yeah, like, that tonight's the one they wore against the Blazers. That uniform, and if you're the Nuggets, you have so many like cool like imagery and colors that you can use, mm-hmm. and you go with that gunpowder red, I think is what it's called.
They had a sunset on their jerseys while they were playing against the Suns.
Oh, they did the same thing where they wore basically the Trailblazers colors against Trailblazers.
Suns were 7th, 9th, 11th, and today. Avalanche, 4th, 6th, 8th, 10th.
From the 4th till today, they lost 8 straight playoff games.
It's 10 days.
Whew!
Yeah.
That's really, really tough. Okay. So that pour one out for our friends in Rotto. We appreciate you as AWLs. We are going to celebrate when Aaron Rodgers goes to the Broncos.
The mountains are blue.
We will celebrate for days when we will call it Rotto Week when Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Broncos. All right, couple segments. Let's do some talking soccer. So the Euros started. One of the craziest, scariest stories on Saturday when let me get the facts correct. What is his full name?
Christian
Eriksen. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Playing for?
Denmark.
Denmark against Finland. Collapsed. He actually, like, went into cardiac arrest. They were able to, I think a Finnish player, the story goes, started CPR.
So what I heard was he was struggling to run at the last couple steps, and then they were throwing the ball in. He collapses into the ball as right. it's being thrown at him, goes face down. They immediately call over the medics. I don't know if he started giving him CPR, but they got the medics out there like real quick. The trainers were there in a matter of like 5 seconds. The medics were not long after that. He was dead on the field.
Yeah.
He was dead. His heart stopped.
Nikki Six.
Yes. And they put the defibrillator on him, and they shocked him and then gave him CPR to keep his heart going. So, yeah, they brought him back from the dead. It was a brutal scene.
Crazy.
The Danish players?
Yes.
Danish?
Yes.
Surrounded him in order so that people couldn't take pictures or like film him on the ground in case he was dead. And so they were like trying to protect him in their way that they could doing that. They take him to the hospital. They call the game off, which was probably the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then football guy, Christian Eriksen, gets on a Zoom call with them, starts jacking off. No, he tells them, I want you guys to play the game.
Yeah.
Then they went out there and played. Unfortunately, they lost. But it was one of those things where you were watching the game and you could tell that nobody on the field like was thinking about the game whatsoever. They basically just watched their captain die in front of them.
Crazy.
It was insane. So thankfully he's okay. But it did bring out, we talked about this a little bit before we started taping, it brought out some of our least favorite people on Twitter.
Yes.
Who were, everyone was mad. Everyone was upset watching the game because they just saw somebody maybe die.
Right.
And they chose to take that anger out on the broadcast of the game, because the broadcast was coming in from UEFA, and UEFA's cameramen, like, dude, just be a normal camera guy and find a hot chick in the stands like every other horny camera guy in the world. Or actually, the appropriate thing would be just like cut to the blimp feed or whatever that is. But they were showing like the players, they were zooming in on Christian Eriksen's wife in the stands,
yep.
who just thought she saw her husband die, and it was brutal. It was admittedly brutal to watch, but everyone was like mad at ESPN for making them watch this. And it's like, I get that you're mad, and I get that like you're upset about what you're watching right now, but you do have, like, there's a button in your hand on your remote.
Right.
That actually controls your own television that you can turn off.
And what it comes down to is people are on social media to get retweets and likes. And of course, we're, I mean, always all of us sitting in this room are guilty of this. But in a situation like this, they like just tweeting, "I hope this guy is okay," won't get you the most retweets. So what does having an adjacent conversation to it where you're just mad at it, no, like you're mad at someone who didn't have anything to do with it, ESPN, but you're just yelling about, you know, how they did this wrong when everything happens really fast. It's fucking crazy. It was a scary situation. I wasn't watching the game. I saw that he was, you know, awake on a stretcher going off. And I've said this a million times before, but the Read the Room people are the worst people in the world, because I still can't for the life of me understand how being affected by something and then spending that time immediately after replying to other people to Read the Room is like you showing your
lack of room reading abilities.
Yeah, well, you're giving the proper like credence to the moment by just replying to people saying Read the Room.
Yeah,
like just, you're clearly thinking about Christian Eriksen by sitting on Twitter and replying to people Read the Room.
Just maybe a moment of silence for maybe just don't tweet anything.
Yeah, don't
for a
tweet.
While. You don't have to tweet when you watch a guy die on television.
I wasn't watching. I saw that he was I caught up. I saw it was scary. I saw that he was on a stretcher, like, awake. I saw that they said he was okay. I retweeted that one, and yeah. I moved on with my day because I wasn't watching. Like, I wasn't going to jump in and be like, oh, my God, just saw this thing. Let me get my take off on it.
Right. You don't have to tweet a video and be like, block or charge.
Yeah, right. Right.
But thank God.
Let me say this, though. I hope that Christian Eriksen is okay, it seems like he is, but he lives a long life to the point where in 50 years, him collapsing can be put accidentally in a Watch These Soccer Guys Flop compilation.
Yeah,
would be the greatest thing to get to. Yeah,
we can get to a point where we can laugh at it.
No, not even laugh at it, but just someone accidentally be like, oh, watch this flop, not realizing because he lives such a fruitful life that it became such a side note to everything else.
If it ends up in one of those like soccer versus hockey compilations.
Right, because it's not a story. Yeah. Right, that would be the best way for this to end is that, you know, he lives a great life and nothing serious ends up coming out of it.
It's tough. I'm glad he's okay. I guess that's a relative term because he's probably not going to play soccer again.
No.
It's probably like a genetic heart issue that he has. Who knows what it was?
We're not doctors.
They got to do the tests and all that.
What did Dr. Chow say? Probably 2 to 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Walk it off.
I've seen a lot of these.
Yeah. Do you think anybody tagged Pro Football Doc in that?
Probably.
I need an update on Christian.
Oh my God! Either way, Euros are here, which is awesome.
Next time Darren Revelle puts out the JFK video, I'm going to tag Dr. Chow.
And when's
the timetable?
Yeah, do you think he'll be ready for the playoffs? though the Euros are awesome. I'm very, very excited.
It's such a great tournament.
It really is, and it's
another Who's Back of the Week, North Macedonia.
Yeah, who knew?
So North Macedonia played in their first international, like major international tournament, I think, got a goal. They just changed their name to North Macedonia. I went down a little Wikipedia wormhole on that when I was like, what's North Macedonia?
What were they before?
Turns out Greece has just basically been taking the name Macedonia hostage and not letting them call themselves Macedonia for years and years and years. And they finally reached like a bargaining agreement where Greece was like, okay, you can call yourselves Macedonia, but it has to be North Macedonia.
Wow.
And they got a goal, which was huge. There were people like crying in the stands because of how much this meant for their country to see the little engine that could.
Wait, Ireland didn't make this shit, but North Macedonia did?
Mm-hmm.
The fuck?
Saying about the Euros, it's coming home.
Yeah.
It's coming home.
They saw those guys. Something just very special about pasty white English fans ripping off their shirts and being like, ooh, dude, get that sun shirt back on fast.
Yeah, they're the best.
You're about to burn.
They're the best. I also just like saying it's coming home.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to say. Yeah. You remember in the World Cup a couple years ago when they had a flyover of jets in England that just spelled out in the air,
it's coming home. It's coming home. football's coming home. And then they're going to lose in, like, tragic fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Can Argentina get into this?
No, they're playing in the other Copa.
They would have beaten England in a tragic fashion.
I feel like this is going to be penalty kicks in the semifinals. England's going to lose.
Against Belgium. Give me Belgium.
That could happen.
Yeah. Belgium beats England.
I can see that.
Penalty kicks. Wait.
Or maybe Denmark. Team of destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Although they probably won't get out of their group, right?
Oh, not without Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, that's probably going to be tough. Okay.
I had a joke and I didn't say it.
No, it's because you read the room.
I read the fuck out of the room.
You read the fucking room.
It's people out there listening to that pregnant pause. You can figure out what I almost said.
Read the fucking room.
All I'm saying is it's a tough group Denmark's in.
Do you think that there were... Now, this is really going to get dark for a second.
Jake just got it.
Yeah. Do you think that there were people on Twitter who were mad that he, like, was okay because they couldn't spend the rest of their day shaming other people? I swear to God, I think that happens.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, he was okay so quickly that we moved on with our day, and all the people who spent, you know, a half hour grandstanding were like, well, what the fuck do I do with my Saturday now?
Let's get a little bit darker with it, Big Cat. Those are the exact same people that log off for the rest of the weekend when there's a mass shooter that doesn't fit their political ideology of what a mass shooter is.
Yes.
And then they're like, I'm just going to ignore this.
Yes, yes, I'm just going to keep moving. All right, let's talk some tennis. The GOAT, Djokovic. Who could I pick on here? Is it you, Jake? Can I pick on you?
For what?
For thinking that Djokovic isn't the GOAT?
He has 19 majors.
I want someone I can pick on.
Roger and Rafa.
I feel like during the that whole coronavirus thing, you kind of fell off.
No. Unvaccinated party.
Oh, shit.
It was a tournament.
It was fine. It was a tournament.
Yeah, it was just
a super spreader event. I remember you saying
that. Dude, like, I mean, I also fell off when he was down to Rafa on Friday. I was like, Clay's a fake thing to play.
I mean, was it the same day, Rizzo and Djokovic?
No, I actually tweeted that. People got very mad. I said, Rizzo and Djokovic have a day. My guys are awesome.
Yeah, it's,
Big Cat, how could you?
Honestly, perfect.
He is the mental toughness to win on the clay, be down 2-0.
Yeah, two sets to love to Stefano Tsitsipas.
Who's the next up and comer, right?
Tsitsipas?
How do you say his name?
Tsitsipas. Yeah.
Tsitsipas.
I love it when Djokovic gets just like angry at the sky all around him. And he just starts if there's an object around him, he will yell at it. And he just uses that to like draw off their energy. And he acquires the energy of whoever he's mad at. And it was honestly like a great comeback. I love watching clay court tennis.
Yeah.
It's great.
I love having Djokovic be my GOAT, even though I watch maybe an hour and a half of tennis a year.
I'm a Federer guy still. Federer still has a crown. Tough.
Yeah, he and Rafa have 20. Did you guys see the semifinal on Friday between Rafa and Djokovic?
Yeah, I did.
It was sick.
I'm a Djokovic guy.
They had a curfew.
I watched the last
It was 11 p.m. local time, and because they said due to the exceptionalness of the match,
yeah,
the curfew's been lifted.
Yeah.
That was always cool. The best growing up when there was like a really good game on, and my dad would be like,
yeah,
honey, let's just let the boy stay up and watch the end of this game.
He's gotta watch the sports.
He'll be so tired for work tomorrow, but this is a great game.
Yeah. The tennis, yeah. I really have no affinity towards Djokovic. I have affinity towards the debate. And the greatness, but the debate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes me interested in tennis, is that I like to debate it. And also, I saw that he gave his racket to a kid, and I noted that, has there ever been a classier competitor than Djokovic?
No.
A lot of people said, actually, he's a real dickhead. Well, all I saw was him making a kid's life.
Well, Big Cat, with the exception of like once or twice, he has never tried to kill a line judge.
Right.
So who else can you say that about in the game? Serena Williams has done it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like truly a mark of the greats. But when he hands the racket to the kid in the stands, a conspiracy theorist would say maybe there's something on that racket
that
he is trying to keep away from the prying eyes of the press or of the officials. And what better way than, because nobody's going to go into the stands and take away the greatest present of that kid's life from
him. Yeah, he was freaking out. Love it. Classy, classy, classy competitor. He would have been just as classy in defeat if he had lost, but he wouldn't because
absolutely.
He's the GOAT.
And I would imagine. I do think that we can still, right now, the debate is still like, Federer is the GOAT. Federer and
Rafa.
Yeah,
but Djokovic is going to pass him.
He could die tomorrow. Kyle Shanahan.
Read
nothing's
the room,
promised.
Dude.
Nothing's
Erickson
promised.
Almost died.
Nothing's
on Saturday.
Nothing's promised.
God.
But
how could
you? Once he equalizes with Federer and Dahl, I think at that point it's like, yeah, Djokovic is a GOAT.
And I know
head to head, he's dominated both of them, right?
Yeah, and there's obviously the argument that he came in at the end of their careers. I don't care. Guess what? No one's going to remember that. Ten years when we just go numbers on everyone's ass.
If Djokovic wins Wimbledon, we'll have a three-way tie at 20 heading into the U.S. Open here in New York end of the summer.
And I still won't care about it.
I'll go. I reported on it two summers ago.
Know how it
I'll
goes.
Go back.
Yeah,
right.
I would like to. We're going to put you on assignment.
Jake.
Perfect.
Great.
Would you like to be a ball boy?
Yes.
I'm too old.
What?
I think. Maybe.
I don't think so.
I think
so.
They do the tryouts
six months
in advance.
Djokovic almost
Kramer
killed
can
like,
do it, you could do it.
Also, Djokovic almost killed like an old lady when he hit that ball at her.
Yeah, so they're going to need replacements in case Djokovic just goes ham.
Yeah. All right. Well, you should be a ball boy.
All right, we'll see.
Let's try to get you in there.
What if Djokovic killed Jake, like hit a ball at him and just knocked him out?
I played King of the Court in a suit.
We would make everyone log off for at least 25 minutes.
A while.
If you died, well.
Oh, no, there'd be some good memes.
We would just repurpose that shirt and just write was.
Yeah.
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 Best in the
I'm trying to think. Would we take. No, we wouldn't take a show off. If you died, I would take a lunch off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hank would
we make some shirts.
Hank would schedule a million ping pong matches.
Hey, guys, Soulstream's back. Yeah. Ping pong tournament.
Oh, I actually had Jake scheduled
right,
for later
die,
on
Jake.
This week.
We love you. We don't want you to die, okay?
No, don't die.
Please don't die. But if you do die, Hank will be the benefactor of all your everything.
It's his birthday.
Yeah, it's his birthday, which is the next segment. Happy birthday, Hank.
Happy birthday, Hank.
Thanks, guys.
Really proud of you.
Appreciate it.
I'm proud of you not taking a vacation on your birthday.
Yeah. I know.
That's big. I feel like that's a major corner that we've turned.
Yeah, I mean, I've never taken a vacation on my birthday. I don't even really take vacations. I just take time off when we have time off. But
wait, you're 28?
28.
How old were you when you took...
No, it's not.
How old were you when you taped the Todd McShay video? 19?
Yeah.
Damn.
Old as fuck.
Time flies.
Dude, when you turn 30, I'm going to cry.
What's the biggest thing that you've learned in your 20s, Hank?
Sheesh. I don't know.
Okay, that was very eloquent.
I'm trying to think.
I put you on the spot. It's not really fair. You learned how to pronounce several words.
You learned how to ice a dog boner.
Yep. save a little money for each paycheck.
There it is for Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just set up in your direct deposit, a little bit of money goes away. You don't even think about it.
That's actually great advice.
Then when you need it, you actually have a little bit of cash.
That is great advice.
You have a 401k?
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
Start it early. Get that compound interest.
No. You max that?
I don't think so, no.
You got a max, bro.
Shout out Max.
Actually, no, I don't think we match. So
no, we don't.
Yeah,
no.
So then don't max.
Yeah.
I would have.
If they match, you max.
Right.
That's what you got to do with your 401k. All right. That was a great segment.
Thanks.
Happy birthday.
I appreciate everything you guys got for me today.
We got you. We got you milkshakes.
Papadillas? 26 of them?
True.
Oh, we should have got 28
enough?
For his birthday.
Oh, fuck.
And then like you could have you actually could have like played that off instead of being like, I just ordered 26 because I'm a fat ass.
Wow. You know what? I'm not even gonna respond to that because it's his birthday.
It's just
I'm gonna let him just say that.
You got 26.
I'm gonna let him say that.
What do you want me to say?
I did feel a little awkward when they had to have two guys help bring them all to my car. That felt a little like, all right, maybe I went too far here.
Yeah, when you said like how many should I get? 20? I thought you were joking. And then you showed up with 26.
Listen, I'm a great guy to have around when it comes to like going out to dinner or like planning for a party because my biggest fear in life is not having enough for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the guy who like will show up with I'll fill the bathtub with beer. Be like, well, just in case it becomes a rager, and then the next morning we have like 200 beers in the bathtub, but we never had to worry.
No one's ever complained about having too many papadillas.
Right.
Ever.
Well, Hank did, but that's fine.
No,
he's the first.
Quick saber metrics before we wrap up.
Yeah, so Julio Jones, he's wearing number 2 in Tennessee. I'm still not comfortable on a personal level with wide receivers wearing single digits. It's going to fuck my brain up this fall.
Yep.
It's absolutely going to ravage my brain. Between that and having a 17-game season where I have to memorize, like, oh, this team's going to go 9-8,
That is, though, March Madness. We got that fixed.
Yeah, also, you can. What I'm doing is I'm just doing regular numbers and then adding a tie on to the end of it.
Yeah.
And that way my brain saves itself. But Julio Jones is wearing number 2, and he said that A.J. Brown offered him the number 11 that he wore in Atlanta. He declined. Julio Jones said 1 and 1 is 2, and 2 times 11, which is Brown, is 22, which is Derrick Henry. He said that lets people know that they have to deal with all three.
Whoa.
Mind blown.
Holy shit.
Mind blown.
Or he just misses Matt Ryan.
I think he thought 2 would look cool, and then he put it on. And you know that there was like a moment of truth when he saw himself in the mirror. He was ready to like feel good about his new look, where he looked at it and he was like, this looks stupid.
This sucks.
This sucks. Number 2 is, I'd say like maybe 6 is the only number that's worse for a wide receiver to wear.
2 is a long, no, it's not even a long snapper, but it's like, it's
a bad kicker.
It's a slow quarterback.
Yeah.
Although, Cam Newton
Devontae
was always 1.
Smith is 6.
Devontae Smith is 6?
In Alabama.
That's dumb, Devontae. Although, no, it'll be good for him because he's going to look fatter.
Mm-hmm.
And he weighs, 165 pounds?
On a good day.
He's 6 with the Eagles, too.
He's 6 with the Eagles? All right, I'm going to pick 6 for him.
I'm going
18.
With 8.
85.
67, 92, 47 out of play.
Someone got mad about 13 not counting.
Yeah,
it has to go
video.
All the way up.
I tweeted out the video.
33.
Larry B.
First timer.
Really? Wow. How many do we have that have not been picked?
I updated my pyramid chart like 3 weeks ago, and there was still like 30, so it's probably like 27, 28.
Can I get a statistical breakdown, please? Add it to my list.
Of that?
Yeah, yeah, of just everything. I want to know everything. How many we picked.
For that one.
Who's, yeah, how many?
I don't think he keeps track of our picks,
put
though.
That up. Put
no,
that
I'll
up,
get no. you, get, keep track of
no, 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 no. How many total like lottery things have we done?
Okay, yeah.
Like so we can get like the 100th and every, we've probably done the 100th.
So we've got, what, you said 28 left? 28 scoregamis left?
I'll put that at the top of my list, please. Okay. Clear the rest of my list.
You'll have it.
Put that at the top.
I think self-suck has to go first.
No, put that. This is the most important. Me staring at a sheet of numbers for 25 seconds tomorrow has to happen.
You'll have it by tomorrow.
Oh, wow. You're the best. All right. See you guys on Wednesday. Great guests coming up. Great, great, great guests coming up.
Love you guys. Oh, Jake, do you have a fact?
Yeah. Animal?
Animal.
Alligators have been a long-running problem for NASA, including climbing over their fences and entering buildings overnight.
What?
That's what
very
cool,
with the,
Jake.
With the
Love you guys.
Talking away. Well, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today's a hard day to find you shying away. Well, I'll be coming for your lover. I'll be coming for your lover, please. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. But I don't want to needless to say, I want to send it. It's no better to be safe than sorry. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. We'll be right back.